President Trump has expressed his disagreement with our decision not to get involved in the initial strikes. But it is my duty to judge what is in Britain's national interest.
Meanwhile, the war continues to rage, gas prices soar, and UK's position still unknown. Staying with senior US politicians, a newly released video footage of Hillary Clinton's testimony to lawmakers in the Epstein scandal, she can be seen storming out.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
So I would like to understand how that's permissible.
Before the hearing was...
It doesn't matter. We all are abiding by the same rules.
I will take that down.
Yeah, well...
I would like to take a break at this moment.
Yeah, I'd
like to have...
I'm done.
That's one angry First Lady. And back here in the UK, it's the Spring Statement. Full details in the first hour. News on LBC is next.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
Global's newsroom at 7 o'clock. The US and Israel have continued to strike Iranian military targets as the conflict enters its fourth day. US Central Command says it's destroyed drone capabilities, air defense sites and military airfields. Six US soldiers have been killed since America started its joint operation with Israel on Saturday. Speaking to reporters last night, the US Secretary of State Marco Rubio didn't rule out putting boots on the ground.
We believe the objective that we have set for this mission, which is the destruction of the ballistic missile capabilities, can be achieved without ground forces. Right now, we're not postured for ground forces, but obviously the president has those options. He's never going to rule out anything. But right now, our focus is on the destruction of their ballistic missile launchers, their ballistic missile stockpiles, and their ballistic missile manufacturing capability, as well as their one-way attack drones and their navy.
Iran has carried out a fresh wave of reprisal attacks against Gulf states overnight. Donald Trump has said America will retaliate soon. He remains under pressure from US and UK politicians over whether the action in Iran breaks international law. Leader of the Liberal Democrats, Ed Davey, has told LBC, Sir Keir Starmer needs to hold Donald Trump to account.
There should have been those negotiations. They were ongoing. And let's remember, President Trump was the one who got rid of the Obama agreement, which most people who have been involved with that, who'd seen what the investigators who'd gone into Iran to look whether they were abiding by the treaty said they were, that was got rid of by Trump and made us a less safe world.
Oil prices rose again this morning, though not as sharply as yesterday. Earlier, Brent crude was up by around 1.9%, while US traded oil was up by around 1.5%. The spike comes as Iran warns that it will target ships travelling through the Strait of Hormuz. The head of the Metropolitan Police says his force is committed to rebuilding community trust following the murder of Sarah Everard. Today marks 5 years since the 33-year-old was kidnapped and killed by the then-serving Met officer, Wayne Cousins. Sir Mark Rowley says the force has since strengthened vetting processes and removed 1,500 officers and staff. And the Chancellor, Rachel Rees, will give an update on her plans for the UK economy when she delivers the spring forecast later. Borrowing and inflation could be revised down, but the latest outlook on growth and jobs is expected to have slowed. In the city, the FTSE 100 will reopen later at 10,780 after closing down 130 yesterday. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.14. LBC weather, dry and sunny for most. Some cloud in the southwest with a few spots of light rain around, a high of 15 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
At Lidl, grab an Easter egg for someone who deserves it, even if that someone is you. Pick up your favourite large branded chocolate eggs like Maltesers, Smarties and Cadbury Cream Egg. Only £2.29 with Lidl Plus. Lidl, more to value. 18 plus GB only while stocks last. Terms apply. See lidl.co.uk/LBTV. Offer ends 8th 3rd 26.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning. 3 minutes after seven on Tuesday, March the 3rd, as President Trump says he's very disappointed in Sir Keir Starmer and indeed the British stance, I'll suggest he is not the only one and ask what you make of this rather prevarication that we see from the PM. And what are the words of reassurance? We have some of our citizens, UK citizens, in harm's way at the moment, probably in the region of 300,000. What are we doing to protect them? In the light of those airstrikes on Iran, Conservative Party leader Kemi Badenoch has criticised Sir Keir's position to give away the Chagos Islands.
Why is it that we are giving away the Chagos Islands and paying £35 billion for the privilege rather than standing up for our national interests?
Surely a 15th U-turn has to be on the way there. In other news,
I'm LBC's Alan Szczynski in Glasgow, one of the UK cities where protests against America's actions have taken place.
MP is due for a pay rise. It'll take them a whisker under £100,000. It's above inflation. Your reaction on that? And it's 5 years on from the tragic events.
On the 3rd of March 2021, 33-year-old Sarah Everard was kidnapped and murdered as she left a friend's house in South London. I'm LBC's Henry Riley looking back on 5 years ago today.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
It's a fast-moving story, so let's take you through the events from yesterday chronologically. As we always say, the best way to deal with any story, anybody now going into media, deal with it chronologically. It's just the easiest way. So yesterday afternoon, US Secretary of War Pete Hegseth praised Israel for its central role in the offensive strike against Iran, but had this to say about the US's traditional allies.
Capable partners, as we've said since the beginning, capable partners are good partners. Unlike so many of our traditional allies who wring their hands and clutch their pearls, hemming and hawing about the use of force.
Embarrassing, isn't it? Separately, President Trump gave an interview to the Daily Telegraph in which he said he was very disappointed in Keir Starmer for initially blocking the US from using the Diego Garcia military base to carry out those airstrikes. Speaking in the House of Commons yesterday, the Prime Minister appeared to respond to the criticism from across the pond and stood by his initial decision to not get involved in those airstrikes.
President Trump has expressed his disagreement with our decision not to get involved in the initial strikes. But it is my duty to judge what is in Britain's national interest. That is what I've done, and I stand by it.
The Prime Minister then went on to draw comparisons with Iraq and use international law as a reason for his reluctance to join in with the US.
The lessons of history have taught us it is important when we make decisions like this, that we establish there is a lawful basis for what the United Kingdom is doing. That is one of the lessons from Iraq. And that there's a viable thought-through plan with an objective that can be achieved or has a viable prospect of being achieved. That is the principles that I apply to the decisions that I made over the weekend.
No lack of decisiveness, meanwhile, from President Trump speaking with reporters from the White House, giving an idea of how long he thinks the offense will go on.
Right from the beginning, we projected 4 to 5 weeks, but we have capability to go far longer than that. Somebody said today, they said, oh, well, if the president wants to do it really quickly, after that, he'll get bored. I don't get bored. There's nothing boring about this.
A couple of expert opinions to prompt our conversation, then over to you. First up, Sir Jeremy Hunt, who, of course, senior Conservative MP, served as Foreign Secretary, joining me now. Good to have you on. Your former colleague, Sir Ben Wallace, writes in one of the papers today, the Daily Telegraph, and the simple headline is, where's the plan? How fair is that critique or criticism, Sir Jeremy? Good morning.
Well, good morning, Nick. I do think there's been a lack of decisiveness in the UK position, but more broadly, this is a very fluid situation. Churchill once said that when it comes to war, once the signal is given, no man can control its course. And that is, I'm afraid, true of President Trump as well. We don't know where this is going to go. But for the UK, I think we've really got the worst of all worlds. On the one hand, America is questioning our loyalty, and that is very significant when it comes to, for example, their support in Ukraine, where we badly need them to carry on helping Ukraine withstand the Russian onslaught. But on the other hand, we are going to be suffering far more than the American economy from the rise in oil and gas prices. When I was Chancellor, we used to have a ready reckoner. We'd say that if global oil and gas prices go up by 20%, inflation here will go up by 1%, and growth will go down by 0.5%. And that has a pretty serious impact on Rachel Reeves' spring forecast today.
What is the course that the UK should be taking, Sir Jeremy?
I think we have to say, what is our big strategic interest here? And I think it's very straightforward. We want stability in the Middle East, and that means not having an Iran with nuclear weapons. And we want to sustain American support for Ukraine. And on both those accounts, I think that means we should have been all in with the president. This is This is someone who you're either all in or you're out in the cold. And it seems to me we were neither. We were, one moment we were against, then we said, OK, well, you can use our bases after all. And I don't think anyone really knew where we stood. And I think that was a failure of leadership.
Where should we be on the Chagos deal now, Sir Jeremy?
Well, I've always been against it. I remember the Foreign Office proposed it to me when I was Foreign Secretary, and I said, you must be joking. This is an absolutely vital strategic military base. And let's be clear, by maintaining this base in the Indian Ocean, America is doing the world a big favour, because America has been for decades the world's policeman. They have been the people who kept open the shipping lanes that have meant that trade has been able to continue. Right now, because of what's happening in the Straits of Hormuz, which are effectively closed, that is the route through which around a fifth of the world's crude oil goes through. That's why it's very important to maintain stability. That base in Diego Garcia is incredibly important for that. So I don't know why Keir Starmer even considered this for one second. I think the Mauritius's claim is entirely spurious. If there's a moment to junk that deal, it is now. And I think that he should get on and quietly do it while all the world is thinking about something else.
Lastly, Jeremy, before I let you go, noting you served as Chancellor of the Exchequer, of course, not that long ago. We have a spring statement, which seems to me like a budget without the numbers, effectively, coming up later today. What might we hear? What are you fearful of, Sir Jeremy?
Well, we are uniquely vulnerable to a surge in oil and gas prices because we're a net importer of gas, and our gas prices, which, you know, most of us are on gas to heat our homes, are linked to the international gas price market. So, I mean, obviously I can say all the things I'd like to hear that we haven't heard a proper plan for economic growth, but I think the real pressure on Rachel Reeves is going to be on the green levies on our electricity and gas bills, on why it is that Labour is phasing out North Sea production when we're seeing all this extremely dangerous developments in the Middle East, and generally a rather ideological approach to energy policy, which cannot be the right thing in the situation we're in right now.
Appreciate you taking the call so early in the morning. Sir Jeremy Hunt, former Foreign Secretary and Chancellor of the Exchequer, of course, Conservative MP down in Godalming and Ash 11 after 7. Listening to that, Sir Richard Dalton, who served as British Ambassador to Iran and joins me now. The continuing, and I have to say, widespread criticism of Sir Keir Starmer in many of the newspaper's editorials this morning. Sir Richard, how fair is that criticism in your view? Good morning.
It's unfair. There was a verbal negotiation which the Israelis and the United States aborted. Secondly, we've caught the Americans on the raw at a time when they're having great difficulty domestically with justifying this war. There is no majority in the United States for this war. There was clear indications from leaders of Congress after the briefing a few days before it was launched that there was no reason shown to them why there was a case for compelling reasons for the United States to go to war at this time. They're now soft-pedaling their regime change justification. They are now preparing their people for a long period of war against what the American peoples had a hope to expect. So when Britain confirms the position taken by France, Germany, and itself and all our other European partners not to participate in the opening strikes, this is a difficult moment for the Americans, and they're lashing out against us, and we should not be unduly impressed by it. We should stick to a course which is in accordance with international law, while at the same time assisting the United States. That is, in brief, Prime Minister Starmer is doing.
So when it comes to defending UK citizens in the region, we don't even do it ourselves?
We are doing it.
We're not, we Sir Richard. Assisting,
We're actively assisting the United States in trying to destroy the Iranian missiles, which are raining down on the
But we didn't
the
even
Gulf
defend
States.
Our own base in Cyprus, Sir Richard. We left that, to the Americans as well. I mean, how impotent should the United Kingdom look, in your view?
We're not looking impotent in the slightest. That was one small drone in,
which we didn't defend.
Launched by Hezbollah, and active steps were taken subsequently against the two drones that were directed at Akrotiri, which were successful. So We also have British planes in the skies assisting our partners in the Gulf to defend themselves against Iranian missiles. So the imputation that the UK is being weak is wrong.
What, when it comes to the Ayatollah and the now dead Ayatollah, what is it that gives you confidence that negotiations could have proceeded and brought come to fruition?
The clear statements by the Omani foreign minister who was mediating, and my own knowledge of the points which the Iranians were prepared to concede. These negotiations take time before they were aborted by Israel and the United States. Many people pleaded for the United States to treat them seriously, but plainly they did not.
But what is it you admire most about the former Ayatollah's regime then?
What a daft question.
Why is that
Why a daft question? I haven't indicated any admiration for the Ayatollah's
but
regime.
My understanding, and you'll be closer
so
to
why,
it than
why
I.
Why would you,
my
as
understanding
a senior
is, and you'll be closer to ISIS,
Richard,
there were people being killed.
Would you suggest that that's
because
what
because if you let me answer, my understanding, and you're closer to it than I, is this is a regime that was killing certainly possibly 5,000, possibly 35,000 of his own people, and imprisoning thousands more. It was a regime that I would have thought needed to go. So I'm asking, what possibly could it be that you admired in that regime?
There are a great many regimes around the world which need to go. But the important issue for Britain's national security is the framework set out after the end of the First World War to minimise the chances of the law of the jungle taking over from international law should be preserved. I'm afraid that our right-wingers, including Jeremy Hunt, are forgetting the lessons of the sacrifices of 20th century generations to try and prevent the law of strong powers overwhelming the rights of nations. And as a relatively weak power, United Kingdom security is dependent long term on re-establishing the rule of law.
But
now, we didn't go in with the United States on Vietnam or on Somalia.
But I just
wonder. We
didn't
participate in the war of choice against Yemen. So, it's nothing extraordinary for us to take a different position from the United States. And the people who are panicking about it are the Americans.
But I wonder,
because it's their domestic political problem, which they fear we have exacerbated.
Lastly, I wonder, Sir Richard, the rules, as you rightly point out, that were established after the First World War. With players such as President Xi, the late Ayatollah, President Putin on the world stage, are those laws still applicable, laws that came about more than 100 years ago?
Oh, come on. 100 years ago, in the course of human history, when human nature is what it is...
But obviously we didn't have a Putin, or we didn't have an Ayatollah, or we didn't have a Xi at those times.
We have had lots of them in the past, and it is wrong for us to think that just because we face a Trump and a Putin now, the laws which are there to protect small nations should somehow be jettisoned.
Okay.
The absence of a plan, Starmer was right to point out that. The absence of a legal base, he was right to point out that.
Grateful for your time. Thank you very much, Sir Richard Dalton. You served as British ambassador to Iran. It's 7:17 LBC News headlines. And Dominic Ellis.
America's top diplomat has warned Iran that the hardest hits are yet to come as the conflict in the Middle East enters its fourth day. The head of the Metropolitan Police says his force is still working to rebuild trust in the community following the murder of Sarah Everard 5 years ago. And the Chancellor will insist the government has the right economic plan for the country when she delivers her spring forecast later. LBC weather dry and sunny for most, cloudy in the southwest with a few spots of light rain, a high of 15 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Delays on the M25 clockwise from Junction 6 at Godstone to 7 at the M23. It's following an accident that happened earlier, but all the lanes are now back open. And also on the M25, it's very slow anti-clockwise from Junction 21 at the M1 to 19 at Watford. Long delays on the A2 westbound from the Danson interchange to the Kidbrook interchange. There are delays of around 20 minutes. Also problems on the underground. The district line is suspended between Turnham Green and Richmond. It's because of a power problem. Minor delays on the Bakerloo line between Queen's Park and Harrow and Wildstone. And also southeastern trains are delayed at London Charing Cross.
This is LBC.
Right, who's all in for Cancer Research UK's Race for Life? Sunday Leaguers! Dog lovers! Bait clubbers! Banger dancers!
Baby ravers. Potters.
Whether you walk it, jog it, or run it, go all in against cancer. All in to help fund life-saving research. Sign up to your local 3K, 5K, 10K or Pretty Muddy event from just $14.99. Search Race for Life. Prices vary by event, distance and participant age.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
With over 50 years' experience, Fidelity can help you feel confidently invested. Make the most of your annual allowances by the 5th of April with our expert insights, excellent service and wealth of investment options. For ISAs, pensions or advice, go to fidelity.co.uk. Your capital is at risk. Terms apply.
Everything breakfast at Ocado. Save on yoghurt, cereal and get a great price on milk so you can splurge on eggs, even from quails. Perfect if you have the urge to eat a dozen eggs but you aren't that hungry. Save and splurge at Ocado, the online supermarket. Select lines only, geographical restrictions, minimum spend and charges apply. Offers end 24th of March. Terms and offer info at ocado.com/terms.
The Philly cheesesteak is back at McDonald's and it's still intensely cheesy. Imagine the cheesiest thing ever. Now cover it in cheese. Add two beef patties, cheddar cheese sauce, crispy onions and even more cheese. The Philly cheesesteak. Did we mention it's cheesy? Available until the 16th of March 2026 from 11 a.m. Fees apply to delivery orders. Price and participation may vary. Subject to availability.
Hi, I'm looking for a pair of jeans.
Right. Low slung, slouchy, wide leg, bower leg, curved leg, flared, straight or skinny.
Blue?
Fashion. It's hard to keep on top of. Other things, like the upcoming changes to renting, are a bit easier. As a landlord, you will need to get on top of these important changes. They will affect how you manage your tenancies. Act now. Read the guidance at gov.uk/renting-is-changing.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973.
7:21 is the time. Coming to you with the full callers. Charles, you'll be the first one. Quickly, just some of the headlines you're waking up to. A very powerful picture on the front page of the Daily Mirror of Iranians fleeing from the airstrike. They talk about chaos and fear. The Sun going in on Sir Keir Starmer in action this day. The Daily Telegraph, and quite rightly, putting it on the front page because they managed to speak with the President and they get the line. I'm very disappointed in Keir. I can assure you, Mr. President, you're not the only one. And lastly, the Daily Mail. US lambasts hand-wringing, pearl-clutching Starmer. That's, of course, Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of State for War. On the LBC app, there are all the latest updates as well. Trump warning the hardest hits are yet to come as the war enters its fourth day. Let's get to Charles in Bagshot. Charles, what is... I don't see a plan yet. I will be asking a senior member of the government what is the plan. What do you think the plan should be? Good morning.
Look, I'm no... Thanks for taking my call. I'm no fan of Sir Keir Starmer, but... I know it's going to get me a lot of flack, but I think he's about right, because I think, like Germany and France also did not go in. But I tell you, I'm getting sick and tired of the likes of Farage and others who've never had to fight in a war, say, let's just go in. Now, I've got very good friends who have been in Afghanistan, and I think they're very, it's affected them, and I don't want to see it. I would be the first to ring you, Nick, and say, congratulations, Donald Trump, if this does work. And I hope I'm wrong, and I really hope there is democracy and freedom back in Iran. The Iranian people deserve it. They're young, they're intelligent people. But I fear we just don't know. There's no direct plan. Not, you talk about Starmer's plan, but Trump doesn't have a plan either. It's just bomb and then see what happens. So, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen.
But you're right, we can't obviously influence Donald Trump's plan, but we don't have a plan at all. I mean, we've gone from one position saying, no, you can't use the bases, to another saying, yes, you can use the bases, and we're not even defending our own citizens in the region.
Yeah, I mean, I see that, but, I mean, we are evacuating, I think. We are providing that.
Yes.
But,
we didn't even defend our own base in Cyprus.
Yeah, that was...
If that doesn't speak to a level of ineptitude...
That's defence. We should be... clearly, there's mismanagement in that regard. I'm not a fan of Keir Starmer.
Lastly, you, I would imagine, would have concerns of Iran getting nuclear capability.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's you believe people like the Ayatollah or the dead Ayatollah, whether you believe it when his people say, yes, we're making progress with talks, yes, I wouldn't believe him, any of them, as far as I could throw
them, Charles. No. But, look, I, as I say, if you'd have me on, I'd be the first to ring up and say, I was totally wrong. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump, I can't stand the man, but he was right on this, and thank God, democracy returns to Iran. I would be the first to say I was wrong, but I just there's a lot of people who hate the Ayatollah in Iran, but unfortunately there's a large group of nutters there that still like him, and we've got, God thank, only because of our brilliant security services, we haven't, God forbid, touch wood, had any terrorist attacks.
Well, that's absolutely, let's touch wood on that. Charles, thank you for getting started. 7:25, Roy, you'll be the next caller. But to assure you, throughout the course of this conflict, and let's hope it's short and with a desirable outcome, we will, of course, cover all other important stories, one of which took place in Edinburgh, where a man carrying knives was arrested after two people were attacked. A nearby secondary school, primary school and nursery were all put into lockdown after the knife man was seen walking in the streets. Here with all the details, LBC's Rebecca Brady. Rebecca, morning.
Morning. Well, unrest within the hundreds of bystanders kept growing as this standoff lasted more than 6 hours yesterday within a block of high-rise flats in Calder Gardens. A huge police cordon stretched around the area as dozens of officers worked to apprehend a suspect. They were called before 8:30 a.m. after a man was seen brandishing a large knife. Locals told me a corner shop had been trashed and an older woman attacked inside. Pretty quickly, we learned two people had been rushed to Edinburgh's Royal Infirmary in non-life-threatening conditions. A man after being stabbed and a woman who'd suffered head lacerations. I've been speaking to residents Mary and Lewis.
Everyone's in lockdown, obviously cursing and swearing, and my daughter was a wee bit anxious, and then shouting and carrying outside, and then ambulances and fire brigades. It's just,
I think a lot of people here have been quite upset by what's going on.
Yeah, I am upset, but I've just got a channel to get on with it, you know what I mean?
I've never seen anything like this the whole time living here. I've lived here for maybe like 6 months. It's been peaceful. It has a bad reputation, this area, you know what I mean? But it's never anything like this. Oh, I was terrified.
Well, this was a major operation. As you said, Nick, schools and council buildings all around the area were in lockdown. Dozens of emergency service vehicles, firearms teams, canine units and drone operators surrounded the place, and they were deployed one by one until a man was arrested. But officials have been clear in the aftermath. This was an isolated incident with no wider risk to the public, and it isn't being treated as terror-related.
Rebecca Brady reporting. 7:27. Roy in Westminster, back to what you see may be the plan from the United Kingdom. Have they got it right? Good morning.
Good morning. I don't think United Kingdom is getting it right. I think that Trump has got every right to intervene. And I can use an example. You know, the example I would like to use is the question, why did UK get involved in Second World War?
Because it felt it was under threat, because the Germans were moving towards France and towards Poland, and they'd have had easy access straight to the United Kingdom. So it was effectively fear of being invaded effectively by Germany.
Okay, exactly. So basically the assumption is, as Sir Richard said, there is no, this is law of the jungle. Mm. There is no legality to get involved, you know, in this war. And I asked the question, why do you think that it is okay for Iran to have proxies all over, you know, Middle East?
Well, I don't think it's all right.
Okay, so exactly. So it hasn't been all right. There is a lot of people who have died over the last 47 years as a direct result of Iran basically meddling in the Middle East and their expansion into the rest of the world. This is reality.
Yes.
This is reality on the ground.
Sir Richard also said that negotiations should be allowed to take their way, but I don't know if you can ever believe anything you're told by the Ayatollah's regime.
No, this point on negotiation. You see, negotiation to achieve what? To achieve that,
Well,
Iran...
there would be no nuclear capability. That was what was one of the key demands.
Well, okay, I mean, you have to be extremely naive to think that an ideology such as, you know, the one which is being expanded from Iran is only a question of basically nuclear capability.
Roya, thank you for your input. Mark, I really want to hear from you because you're a veteran and get your view. Let's do it the other side of the news because we're going to news in just a second. Just a couple of the many emails that are coming in. Elaine says, this is embarrassing for you. You should be happy that we have a cautious Prime Minister not getting into another war. Same subject. This comes in from Pat in Sutton. We assisted the US before in Afghanistan when Article 5 was triggered on their behalf and Trump effectively spat in our fallen troops' faces. This is not a NATO operation. This is an Israeli-US adventure with no clear plan or objective. Do keep them coming there. Mark, you'll be the next caller. Also talking about US politicians.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
So I would like to understand how that's permissible.
Before the hearing was...
It doesn't matter. Me. We all are abiding by the same rules.
I will take that down.
Yeah, so well...
I would like to take a break at this moment.
Yeah,
I'd like to have...
I'm done.
Whoa. You released video footage there. Former First Lady Hillary Clinton seen losing her temper while giving evidence in the Epstein files. We'll have more on that. It is 7:30. Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, on LBC News Time. Dominic Ellis.
The US is warning the hardest hits on Iran are yet to come as the conflict in the Middle East widens. Tehran has carried out a fresh wave of reprisal attacks against Gulf states overnight. Saudi Arabia says the US embassy in Riyadh has been hit by two suspected Iranian drones. Donald Trump says America will retaliate soon. Six U.S. soldiers have been killed since America started its joint operation with Israel on Saturday. And oil prices have rose again this morning, though not as sharply as yesterday. The spike comes as Iran warns that it will target ships travelling through the Strait of Hormuz. The head of the Metropolitan Police says his force is still working to rebuild community trust following the murder of Sarah Everard 5 years ago. The 33-year-old was kidnapped and killed by the then-serving Met officer, Wayne Cousins. And the Chancellor will insist that the government has the right economic plan for the country when she delivers her spring forecast. Rachel Rees will tell the Commons later the economy is stronger and secure as a result of decisions they've taken. LBC weather dry and sunny for most, cloudy in the southwest, with a few spots of light rain, a high of 15 degrees.
On the latest episode of The Newsagents.
The morning after the dreadful night before for Labour, where they took an absolute kicking in a by-election, which once again raises questions over Keir Starmer's leadership.
Get the latest episode of The Newsagents with Emily Maitlis, John Sokol and Lewis Goodall. Listen or watch on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
You've probably been with the same energy supplier for decades. And why wouldn't you be? Loyalty matters. But lately, bigger hasn't always felt better. You've probably dealt with long waits and endless automated menus in search of someone who can actually help. Octopus Energy is now Britain's biggest energy supplier, trusted by over 8 million customers, because we do things differently. Our people focus on the most important thing, you. When you call, you'll speak to a real person. No robotic scripts, no computer says no. Just an honest conversation with someone who actually wants to help. Join the millions who've already made the move. Octopus Energy, recommended by Which? A record 9 years running. Visit octopus.energy/better for verification.
Tesco Insurance are driving down the cost of motoring with 10% off car insurance. Take out a car insurance policy before the 15th of May 2026 and you'll get 10% off with club card prices. We offer a range of cover options so you can choose the one that's right for you. Save 10% when you buy or renew a car policy with Tesco Insurance. Search Tesco Car Insurance and get a quote direct today. Club card required. Excludes add-ons. T's and C's apply.
Check your retirement savings are on track with PensionBee's easy-to-use app. Because when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. When investing, your capital is at risk.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
7:33 is the time. Mark, you'll be the next caller. Let's talk a little bit about what's happened, though, domestically as regards the conflict in the Middle East. Christian Mayer is editor-in-chief at City AM. And what does it mean? City AM runs this about the prices, the gas prices, energy prices. Good morning to you, Christian.
Good morning, Nick. Yes, we'll talk about gas prices certainly in a moment. Let's also talk about the market reaction. It's not panic in the markets, far from it, but it certainly is nervousness. The FTSE is forecast to open down about 0.5% today, having closed down over 1% yesterday. And as winners and losers, of course, defence companies popping all over Europe in the markets. British Airways owner IAG, for example, down, as we discussed yesterday. So winners and losers, to put it crudely, in the markets. Let's look at gas prices. Huge spikes in prices yesterday, described as stratospheric spikes in prices, gas prices. Why? Because of an attack on Qatar's largest liquid natural gas centre. They've paused production. It also comes as the Straits of Hormuz are increasingly vulnerable to Iranian attacks and reprisals. They are effectively closed, through which an enormous amount of liquid natural gas makes its way to Europe, along with oil. Now, analysts are very concerned that any sustained period of the gas prices that we're seeing as of this morning and as of yesterday would almost certainly feed into wider inflationary concerns. And that's particularly the case in Europe. Don't forget, the US is actually a net exporter of oil and gas, and the Europe, and particularly the UK, is very much reliant on imports. So we are vulnerable to that. Analysts are fearful that inflation could also be driven up by any kind of further disruption or slowdown in global trade, say nothing of wider sentiment and confidence. So the economic question marks hanging over this situation in Iran and the Middle East are very substantial. US administration not putting a timeline on this state of affairs, but talking about weeks, certainly, rather than days. And skeptics are saying you've no idea where this is going to end, and it could get much bigger, much uglier, and with far wider consequences.
Series of questions. What is a spring statement? How relevant is it? And what might we hear later today?
Well, the spring statement is the second of the two set-piece events that the Chancellor has to deliver to the Commons. The big one is obviously the budget. Now, it used to be that twice a year the OBR would score the government on its fiscal situation, its headroom, its public finances. You know, we talked a lot about fiscal headroom in the run-up to the budget. The situation has been changed. The OBR will now only do that once a year in the autumn. So the spring statement today, although the Chancellor will respond to the latest official forecasts, which are not supposed to be that pretty, by the way. We're looking at a slight downgrade to the OBR's growth forecast, probably an upgrade to unemployment forecasts, and question marks, as we just discussed, over inflation. Chancellor won't be scored on the state of the public finances. She had been hoping to make a spring statement that nobody really noticed. You consider the extent to which the chaos around the run-up to and the environment after the budget at the end of last year hammered business confidence, economic confidence, consumer confidence. They were very keen to avoid anything like that. We've heard next to nothing about what's going to be in the spring statement, other than the fact that the Chancellor will insist that in an uncertain world, and you can imagine they were rewriting much of this speech yesterday, the UK has got the right economic policy, that we have, in the words of the Chancellor at lunchtime today, a stronger and more secure economy. And now there will be debate about this. There'll be debate about the government's economic positioning. MPs will be cheering it over. There'll be all sorts of think tanks and experts and economists poring over what the Chancellor announces. We're not expecting major tax and spending announcements in the statement today, but it will set the tone for the months ahead. And the Chancellor will have to contend with the fact that she is delivering this statement, which is meant to be all about the UK's enviable position of stability at a time of raging war.
And also, unfortunately, a time of what's soon to be raging unemployment, possibly on its way to a 10-year high. And that feeds into our final conversation about BrewDog. Christian.
Yeah, BrewDog is a well-known brand, well-known in supermarkets, on shelves, in pubs, and indeed in their own pubs. And as we've been discussing on and off in recent weeks, Nick, they went into some difficulty. They have now been snapped up for just over 30 million quid by an American company who said they're going to retain the brand and they've got huge affection for it. The sale of the business will preserve about 700 jobs, but over 40 of BrewDog's own pubs will shut, meaning about 500 redundancies in that sector, the hospitality sector, let's not forget, taking a pounding, 500 job losses with an immediate effect. It's also the case that of about 200,000 small investors who between them put in 75 million quid to BrewDog, known as the equity punks, are likely to be completely wiped out, although the new owners say that they will give them something like a discount card.
Christian May, Editor-in-Chief at City AM, thanks for all that. Taking us to 7:38, Mark in Epping. Mark, the plan, or lack of a plan, where do you stand on what we're hearing from Sakira, number 10? Good morning.
Hello, good morning. I like your show, first time we've spoken.
Thank you, sir.
Right, I said to your staff, I'm a veteran of Afghan, Iraq also, and other Northern Ireland.
Oh,
this, what we've got here is national cowardice. Industrial-scale cowardice. I was listening. What prompted me to call was your Australian-sounding chap...
Charles.
Who said he had not been himself, but he knew someone who had.
Hmm.
Well, they're not the sort of people we need right now. We need the people who have gone or ready to go, willing to go. Your esteemed diplomat made reference to international law and the risk of reverting to the law of the jungle as it was 100 years ago. With the conduct of Iran... We are already in the law of the jungle with the support of Hamas, Houthis, Hezbollah. Also, in the Iraq war, which is not so widely known, it's not secret, but the Iranians did supply IEDs on an industrial scale against our forces, and British fatalities, British non-fatal casualties were a direct result of Iranian action. Same detail, the Afghan side. They're culturally similar. The Farsi language is similar to Dari. So they are natural links. They're adjoining countries, and they also made sure that explosive devices, there were weapons, a lot of heavy weapons that were used against British troops. A substantial number came from Iran. So this idea of negotiating with Iran, you're negotiating with somebody who's on a chessboard, and yet they're throwing stones at you at the same time. That's not negotiation, that's surrender. So, Keir Starmer, unfortunately, we've had the Labour and Conservative governments run down our defence to such a point that I think this timidity on the part of the government is mainly coming from lack of preparedness. Generally, with regards to Keir Starmer, I would say he's just naturally timid.
Lastly, Mark... And credit your bravery. You've served in Afghanistan, you've served in Iraq, you've served in Northern Ireland. How can we be confident we're not getting into another Iraq or Afghanistan? Mark?
We cannot be. But what we cannot do is let the alternative persist. This regime has existed for some 40-plus years and has antagonised and terrorised the world. We've got the IRGC, which, crazily... is permitted to exist in this country where we've got our security services have to run on hamster wheels just to counter them, just to stand still. So we are already in a war. It's a hybrid war that's going on. It's down to the British government to go and stand up and protect the British people and do their job, which is what they're failing to do.
Thank you for your call. Thank you for your service, Mark. Really laying it out. And that's someone who's seen it, been there, done it, and owns the T-shirt for Iraq, Afghanistan and Northern Ireland. We'll have more calls on that in just a moment. But back here in the UK, hundreds of people took to the streets of Glasgow yesterday afternoon to protest against US strikes on Iran. Similar protests were seen in Manchester and in Bristol. Here with details, LBC's correspondent Alan Zizinski. Alan, good morning.
Morning, Nick. Yes, as was the case in those other cities that you mentioned, protesters gathered here in Glasgow city centre, probably about 200 of them actually, as part of what organisers were calling an emergency no war on Iran demo. They held signs and chanted to that effect as commuters walked by, and they waved flags as well, the majority of which were actually the Palestinian flag rather than the flag of Iran. But their main message on Iran, their reason for being here, was to say that Britain should not be supporting America in this because they do not trust the US and believe that Donald Trump is lying about why he's doing this.
They have started an absolute mess throughout the Middle East, and it is going to have terrible, terrible consequences for everyone involved.
There is no proof that Iran has nuclear weapon whatsoever, and everybody knows it, and they know it. They wanted the regime change.
Why are we believing anything he says about Iran's nuclear program, which it looked like a lot of it had been taken out anyway?
Iran has never had any intention of building a nuclear weapon, and that's at the key front of all this. They're lying through their teeth, Trump.
On your comments there, I wonder then, do you or did you believe the supreme leader of Iran more than Donald Trump?
Oh, definitely. I believe anybody over Donald Trump, to be honest. I'm not daft.
Why is it that the United States can have nuclear weapons, Israel can have nuclear weapons, but Iran can't? That's
an existential threat to the rest of the world.
I guess their response would be, we're not sponsoring terror.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty you could go into with that, with the CIA.
And Nick, if the Prime Minister thought that these were perhaps the people who would appreciate or back his more nuanced stance on this conflict, which we know has upset the Americans, then I'm afraid he's mistaken, because everyone here that I asked about it both criticised him for not heavily condemning the initial strikes and accused him of capitulating anyway when it comes to the use of British bases.
Alan Zizinski reporting. Come to more of your calls, Sue, the other side of the news. Also, we've already discussed now, will the so-called Chagos deal, the Chagos giveaway, be the next U-turn for the Prime Minister? Now, you may recall last week we spoke with the self-appointed First Minister of the Chagos Islands, in exile on the islands, Ms. Lee Mandarin, and I asked him if he would very kindly, over the weekend, record a sort of video diary or video picture. That is now available on the LBC app or lbc.co.uk. The beaches are absolutely beautiful. Here's an excerpt.
Hello, Nick. This is Miss Lee Mandarin. This is my video update to you. So, as you see, how beautiful it is.
All right, I'll be honest, we did add the ukulele. Mr. Mandarin was not playing the ukulele, but we did not add the waves. They are genuinely that loud, and it is sun-kissed white sand, so... Oh, you'd want to give that away, wouldn't you? More on the spring statement in a moment. 7:45 now, LBC News headlines, Dominic Ellis.
The US and Israel have continued to strike Iran's military targets overnight as the conflict in the Middle East enters its fourth day. The head of the Metropolitan Police says his force is still working to rebuild community trust following the murder of Sarah Everard 5 years ago. And the Chancellor, Rachel Reeves, will insist the government has the right economic plan for the country when she delivers her spring forecast. LBC weather, dry and sunny for most, cloudy in the southwest with a few spots of light rain, a high of 15 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Delays on the M1 southbound Junction 9 at Redbourne is following an accident and one lane is closed. Also, delays on the M25 clockwise up to Junction 6 at Godston after a car broke down earlier, although that's just been recovered. The M3 is very slow northbound to Junction 3 at Lightwater. There's been an accident and one lane is closed. Tooting High Street is closed northbound, and that's because of a fire in a building. On the Underground, the District Line is suspended between Turnham Green and Richmond. It's because of a power problem, which means that the Mardmay line on London Overground can't run between Richmond and South Acton. And also on the trains, Southwestern Railway services are delayed northbound from Guildford to Leatherhead.
This is LBC.
How big's the job? Compact and nimble? That's the Vauxhall combo. A bit of everything? Meet the award-winning Vivaro. Or is it a load-it-all job? That's Movano. Whatever the job, there's a Vauxhall van for it. Right now, during the Vauxhall Pro Days van event, until the 16th of March, you can save £750 off any new Vauxhall van, electric or diesel, on top of all other offers. Search Vauxhall van range. Business users only, 18 plus, £750 excluding VAT. T's and C's apply. Search Vauxhall van range.
Call Nick Ferrari now, 0345 6060973, LBC.
The Hillary sale ends soon, so get window wise and grab these amazing offers while you still can. Like up to 50% off hundreds of made-to-measure blinds, curtains and shutters. Plus, grab £50 off your electric blind order and conveniently control your blinds for less. And don't forget, with Hillary's, measuring and fitting is always included. So get window wise and book your free in-home appointment today at hillarys.co.uk. But hurry, the Hillary sale ends on the 9th of March. Conditions apply.
Check you're on track for a happy retirement with PensionBee's easy-to-use app. Because when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. When investing, your capital is at risk.
A Thames Link train is a place where you can have more me time. A chance to skip traffic and glide to wherever you need to be. With headspace to focus on more important matters. Like if that cloud is a starfish or sunflower. Fast journeys without the rush with great deals at thameslinkrailway.com. Terms apply.
Amazon offers term time working to their employees, like Anton, who's home to look after his daughters during their holidays.
Hello!
To him, this is the best sound in the world. Actually, maybe that's the best sound of all. Now that's term time working. Offered at Amazon. 10 weeks off guaranteed per year. Mix of paid holiday and unpaid time off. Conditions apply.
Hi, I'm looking for a pair of jeans.
Right. Low slung, slouchy, wide leg, bower leg, curved leg, flared, straight or skinny.
Blue?
Fashion. It's hard to keep on top of. Other things, like the upcoming changes to renting, are a bit easier. As a landlord, you will need to get on top of these important changes. They will affect how you manage your tenancies. Act now. Read the guidance at gov.uk/renting-is-changing.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
Coming up on 10 minutes before 8, so let's pause on that global conversation events in the Middle East and become a little more selfish and look at the domestic agenda. We have a spring statement, one of the two set pieces from the Treasury, and here, hopefully, to give us a little more detail, Chief Secretary to the Prime Minister, Darren Jones. Good to have you on board, sir. What can you tell us, without obviously stealing too much thunder, what are we likely to hear later today? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. I'm sorry to disappoint you, but you know I can't tell you what's in it at a detailed level because the Chancellor has to do that to Parliament first.
Can you give us a broad brush approach, Mr. Jones?
I can certainly tell you that what the forecast is going to show is that our focus on helping tackle the cost of living for people at home, trying to get government debt down, trying to bring stability to our public finances are the important bedrocks on which the economy gets to grow in the future and people's wages start to improve as a consequence. And the forecast will show that that plan is working. And in the context of everything going on in the world, I think it shows that we need to double down on that stability and investment at home so that we can weather these global storms more effectively in the future.
My listeners thinking that the plan is working, possibly when they go to their supermarkets or whatever else they might need to buy, they look at the prices and they might say, what on earth is this man talking about? That's not reflected on the supermarket shelves.
It's the start of that process, and I completely agree with you and recognise that the cost of living is still a challenge for many families across the country. Pay is starting to increase quicker than the cost of the things that we pay for. That's been happening consistently over the last few months. And of course, where government is able to have a direct effect on that, we have taken action, whether it's on bus fare caps, rail fare freezes, NHS prescription charges, knocking off £150 of our energy bills, funded childcare. All of those things we can do to help, we are doing because we know it's important for the public.
You obviously aware when you talk about energy bills, and this is no fault of this government or indeed most governments in the world, but household energy bills could rise to £2,500 a year if the conflict goes on, Mr. Jones.
Well, the first thing is to say is we obviously want the conflict to end as quickly as possible so that we can avoid those economic outcomes. But the public get it, right? I mean, when Russia invaded Ukraine, our energy bills went up as a consequence. What that shows is that the money we've been able to take off bills is important in and of itself, but our longer-term plan to make sure that we have British nuclear power stations, wind turbines, offshore floating wind, essentially creating the energy we need at home where we get to control the price is really important when compared to relying on gas being imported from around the world.
So is it time for a review of the policy by your senior colleague Ed Miliband not to use more of the North Sea oil to drill baby drill, as someone might put it?
Look, the sad truth is there's not much left up there, to be honest. North Sea oil will continue to play an important part for many years to come, and we've been able to say that existing installations can continue to drill further to be able to try to get hold of that. But it takes a long time to get it out of the ground, and the basin is depleted after decades of extracting it. The key point, though, is that oil and gas out of the North Sea is still subject to international markets because it's traded internationally. The difference with nuclear and wind farms in the UK is we get to decide those prices locally and be able to keep that price down for people, and that's why we've got to accelerate on those technologies.
So, Chief Secretary, that's the second or third time you talked about keeping prices down and trying to stabilise, but this is as unemployment is set to hit a 10-year high. Unemployment. Surely that undermines a lot of the work that the Chancellor and your colleagues are trying to do.
We want everybody to have the opportunity to be in work. There's no question of
that.
They're
not, are they?
No, sure, and there's a particular problem with youth unemployment. That's why Pat McFadden at the Department for Work and Pensions has announced a scheme that will be starting later this year that says that if you are a young person coming out of mandatory education and can't find work, we will support you to be in either a training place in a college or on an apprenticeship or some guaranteed work experience to help you get that first rung on the on the ladder. It's evident that we need to intervene a bit more to help young people in this labour market, but we're very happy to do that.
But is this not in part caused by a previous budget from the Chancellor as regards the increase in national insurance, which has stopped particularly a lot of young people perhaps getting their first job in a hotel, in a restaurant, in a coffee shop? Mr. Jones.
Look, the increase to employer national insurance contributions evidently made the cost of employment slightly higher than it was in the past, but that was in the context of a budget where we were maintaining our promises to working people not to increase their personal taxes when they're struggling with the cost of living, whilst at the same time being able to invest in the economy to deal with things like the energy transition that I've talked about. Individual measures can always be challenging, but it's the kind of broader approach you have to try to take to get the country in the right direction, and that's what the Prime Minister and the Chancellor are doing.
If we're talking right direction, if I can take you to events in the Middle East, and I'm sure you're expecting a couple of questions on that, there are fears that this could be lurching to some kind of greater conflagration. What is the UK government's plan as regards what's going on in the Middle East?
Well, as your listeners will have heard, the Prime Minister has been very clear that we were not involved in the original American and Israeli strikes in Iran. We would have rather negotiation and diplomacy to have continued, but we are where we are. So our first priority now is to do what we can to defend British citizens in the region and British military personnel. That's why we have RAF fighter jets in the sky and why we've allowed the Americans to use RAF Fairford and Diego Garcia. But we want this conflict to end as quickly as possible because, of course, a wider escalation in the region is of no good to people living there, but it's also no good to our economy.
But we seem to be in a situation where there's, broadly speaking, around 300,000 Britons living in that region, and we've left it to the United States to defend them.
No, that's not true. We've got British F-35s, British Typhoons in the sky shooting missiles down. What we've gone and to agreed further with the Americans is that they can use our air bases, which are obviously closer to the Middle East than continental America, to use some of their assets to be able to go into Iran, to be able to bomb the launchers of those missiles, so that by working together we can reduce the risk of missiles being launched in the first place and then reaching the destinations that the Iranians have fired them in.
How disappointed are you by the President of the United States saying that he is disappointed in Keir Starmer, and he's gone further in an interview with Harry Cole from The Sun, which you probably haven't had sight of because it's only been published within the last hour or so. President Trump saying he thought that it was the most solid of all special relationships. He says now we have very strong relationships with other countries in Europe. He specifically praises France and Germany. Our special relationship is shot through courtesy of Keir Starmer, isn't it, Mr. Jones?
I don't think that's true. I mean, operationally, the UK and the US are working together right now in the Middle East. And of course, intelligence sharing and trade and business and all that stuff continues. I recognise that the President would rather that we were involved in the initial intervention between the Americans and the Israelis for offensive action in Iran and the Middle East. But the Prime Minister has been very clear, both to Parliament and the British people, as well as to the Americans, that we will only engage British armed forces where there is a legal basis to do so, a clear plan for our involvement, and where it is in the interest of our country.
Hang on, you aren't engaged British armed forces. You said the RAF is engaged.
It is now, because it's about defensive action to stop missiles reaching areas where there are British citizens there. But the initial engagement in the Middle East, we would rather that would have been carried on diplomatically.
But do you not see that, as regards the relationship we have with the United States, it's fair now to question our loyalty from our side of that relationship, Mr. Jones?
No, I don't accept that, Nick, because our relationship is important to us and it will continue to be. But it's also right that we make decisions in the UK based on our legal frameworks, our own plans and British interests.
But you're the lawmakers, Mr. Jones. The legal framework is set by you and your colleagues. If, and I put it to you, that the legal framework perhaps here is not working, that is for you and your colleagues to change, isn't it?
It's partly for us, but it's also international law in relation to use of force and military intervention. And you do need to have a legal basis to be able to intervene in a country.
But you make the laws. You're sounding like the Prime Minister now. It was basically, it's just like listening to a law book. Who makes the laws? That's you. If they're not fit for purpose, and there is a broad feeling in this country, amongst some, not all, that they're not, surely that's what needs to be addressed.
No, this is international law, Nick. It's not just law that we set in Parliament. And that's why our European partners are in the same place as us. That's why we've been coordinating with President Macron and Chancellor Musk and others, as well as our regional partners in the Middle East. There must be a clear international legal basis for us to engage British military personnel. There is now, because it's a defensive engagement to support British citizens and the collective defence of our allies.
It's very sad to see the special relationship is obviously not what it was, says President Trump. Of Sir Keir, he says he's not been helpful. I never thought I'd see that. I'd never thought I'd see that from the UK. He's seen it from your administration, hasn't he?
Look, I recognise the President's frustration, but that doesn't get away from the fact that we do follow international law, along with all of our European counterparts. And I think the public would rightly expect us to only be involved where it does meet that legal test, where it is in our interest, and where there is a clear plan. I don't think anyone wants us to get involved in a wider offensive escalation for war in the Middle East.
What is the best end game as regards the interests of the United Kingdom, Mr. Jones?
The most important endgame right now is that we stop Iran from firing missiles around indiscriminately in the region so that we can open airspace and get British citizens home as quickly as possible.
Yeah, but ultimately for that region, what does the United Kingdom think needs to happen?
Well, look, I mean, it depends where we end up in relation to Iran.
So we're just dragged along then? We have no clue where we want it to go? We just wake up in the morning and see which way the wind is blowing?
Well, I can't tell you what the Iranians are going to do next week. I hope the war in the Middle East comes to an end.
I mean, as the newspapers say, he is the inaction man, isn't he, your Prime Minister?
Our Prime Minister cannot dictate what Iran does in the Middle
East. One day you can't use the bases, the next day you can use the bases. I mean, it's risible, Mr. Jones.
So we couldn't use the bases for intervention.
International law, here we go.
Yeah, but I think the public, Nick, are with the government on that. We've learnt the lessons from Iraq. We don't want to go back into war in the Middle East where there is no clear plan and no legal basis to do so. And I think your listeners, when they call in, I would be pretty confident, agree with me on that.
Well, I know you'll be too busy to stay tuned in the next 30 minutes, but I'll try and get it so. Across you. Lastly, there is concern over a march planned in London for later this month, which is held by Al-Quds during the Ramadan. It forms part of an international day of demonstrations established in 1979. This is scheduled, the Al-Quds March in London, on March the 15th. It's reported that some Labour MPs and some peers have concerns. Should that proceed?
I'm not across the detail of that march, Nick, but any march is policed in the normal way. We've strengthened the rules recently to be able to allow the police to intervene if there's a cumulative impact on local residents, and I know that the Met Police will be engaging with the organisers in the normal way.
Grateful for your time. All eyes ahead now to the spring statement as outlined briefly by Darren Jones, Chief Secretary to the Prime Minister. Thanks, Mr. Jones. Taking us to 1 minute after eight and the latest LBC News headlines, Dominic Ellis.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom, Donald Trump has renewed his criticism of Sir Keir Starmer for initially blocking the US from using UK military sites to target Iran. He's questioned the strength of the so-called special relationship and said Sir Keir's inaction was not helpful. The Prime Minister defended his decision yesterday, saying any UK action must always have a lawful basis. Speaking to Nick in the past few minutes, the Chief Secretary to Sir Keir Starmer, Darren Jones, pushed back on the President's latest remarks.
Our relationship is important to us and it will continue to be, but it's also right that we make decisions in the UK based on our legal frameworks, our own plans and British interests.
But you're the lawmakers, Mr. Jones. The legal framework is set by you and your colleagues.
It's partly for us, but it's also international law in relation to use of force and military intervention.
The United States and Israel have continued to strike Iranian military targets as the conflict with Iran enters its fourth day. Tehran has also carried out a fresh wave of reprisal attacks against Gulf states overnight. Six US soldiers have been killed since America started its joint operation with Israel on Saturday. Former British ambassador to Iran, Sir Richard Dalton, has told Nick pressure is building on the US to justify its actions.
There was clear indications from leaders of Congress after the briefing a few days before it was launched that there was no reason shown to them why there was compelling reasons for United States to go to war. They are now soft-pedaling their regime change justification. They are now preparing their people for a long period of war.
Oil prices rose again this morning, although not as sharply as yesterday. The spike comes as Iran has warned that it will target ships travelling through the Strait of Hormuz. The head of the Metropolitan Police says he will always be sorry for the harm done to Sarah Everard and the damage to the trust in the force. Today marks 5 years since her murder by a serving officer. Sir Mark Rowley says they've toughened up their vetting processes and removed 1,500 officers and staff. And the Chancellor will insist the government has the right economic plan for the country when she delivers her spring forecast. Rachel Reeves will tell the Commons later the economy is stronger and secure as a result of decisions they've taken. In the city, the FTSE 100 has just reopened at 10,780 after closing down 130. Yesterday, the pound buys $1.34 and €1.14. LBC weather dry and sunny for most, cloudy in the southwest with a few spots of light rain, a high of 15 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Tonight's Euro Millions jackpot is £152 million.
It'll have you dancing like nobody is watching. Yeah, baby. Just make sure nobody is watching. Get in tonight's Euro Millions draw. Play on app.
Estimated jackpot. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning. 4 minutes after eight on Tuesday, March the 3rd. Coming up in this hour, we'll be speaking with a journalist who they've just published his interview with President Trump, and it would seem he takes the disdain even further. I'm afraid it's scorn in the USA for the UK at the moment. In a related conversation, in the light, of course, of that action in the Middle East, Conservative Party leader Kemi Badenoch has criticised the Chagos giveaway deal.
Why is it that we are giving away the Chagos Islands and paying £35 billion for the privilege rather than standing up for our national interest?
And we'll have more from the Chagos Islands on that. Plus, MPs get ready to have a pay rise to take them to a whisker under £100,000 a year. It's an inflation-busting pay rise. Are they deserving of that? And as the leader, as the commissioner of the Metropolitan Police Commissioner says, he understands why women don't trust the police. I'll be asking you, as a woman, your feelings towards the police in the light of this.
On the 3rd of March 2021, 33-year-old Sarah Everard was kidnapped and murdered as she left a friend's house in South London. I'm LBC's Henry Riley, looking back on 5 years ago today.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
You woke up this morning to one newspaper, the Daily Telegraph, saying in their interview with Donald Trump he was very disappointed, close quotes. It's gone even further. They've just published an interview with the Sun newspaper, Harry Colin. You'll hear from Harry in just a moment, in which he conducted a telephone interview, I understand, with the president. And in the last 15 minutes of the show, I was speaking with the Prime Minister's Chief Secretary, Darren Jones, and I put parts of Trump's interview with Harry Cole, the Sun, to him, and asked him what it means for our supposed special relationship.
I don't think that's true. I mean, operationally, the UK and the US are working together right now in the Middle East, and of course, intelligence sharing and trade and business and all that stuff continues. I recognise that the President would rather that we were involved in the initial intervention between the Americans and the Israelis for offensive action in Iran and the Middle East. But the Prime Minister has been very clear, both to Parliament and the British people, as well as to the Americans, that we will only engage British armed forces where there is a legal basis to do so, a clear plan for our involvement, and where it is in the interest of our country.
Hang on, you are engaged British armed forces. You said the RAF is engaged.
It is now, because it's about defensive action to stop missiles reaching areas where there are British citizens there. But the initial engagement in the Middle East, we would rather that would have been carried on diplomatically.
But do you not see that, as regards the relationship we have with the United States, it's fair now to question our loyalty from our side of that relationship, Mr. Jones?
No, I don't accept that, Nick, because our relationship is important to us and it will continue to be. But it's also right that we make decisions in the UK based on our legal frameworks, our own plans and British interests.
But you're the lawmakers, Mr. Jones. The legal framework is set by you and your colleagues. If, and I put it to you, that the legal framework perhaps here is not working, that is for you and your colleagues to change, isn't it?
It's partly for us, but it's also international law in relation to use of force and military intervention. And you do need to have a legal basis to be able to intervene in it.
Let's bring into the conversation the journalist who's just published that interview with Donald Trump. Harry Cole, editor-at-large of The Sun, joins me now. Harry, give us an overview of what you heard from the president. Morning to you. Well done, by the way. Well done, sport.
Thank you. Morning, Nick. Always nice to speak to my old neighbour. Well, it's been remarkable. Day four of the war the war in Iran being led from the White House by President Trump, who picked up the phone when I spoke to him earlier, and he did not hold back. It is safe to say he is livid with Keir Starmer. It reminded me a little bit of those days back in 2017 where Theresa May sort of rubbed up the president the wrong way and the relationship never really recovered. The unlikely bromance we've seen over the last 18 months or so between Trump and Starmer, which was always an odd coupling, to say the least. The lefty Mr. Rules Keir Starmer versus right-wing Mr. No Rules President Trump was always, I think, destined to end in tears, but it really has come crashing down now. He's talked of his disappointment, but not just that, of the, as they used to say, the special relationship isn't what it used to be. Relations aren't what they used to be. He said it's incredibly sad. He finds it very frustrating. He doesn't understand why Keir Starmer is doing this, and he says he loves the UK. He loves the British people, and they will be upset as well. And then, you know, he just kind of went on and on and on. And he you know, he weighed into the cost of energy in the UK and immigration, which I think he puts at the centre of all of Europe and Britain's woes, actually. Mass migration, which is clearly such an issue in America for him, something he's put front and centre of his presidency. He said, you know, very clearly, you've got to stop letting in people into your country who hate you. You've got to stop importing people from different cultures, from different foreigners, and expecting everything to be fine. The suggestion, the underlying suggestion being that perhaps Keir Starmer is in fact pandering to Muslim voters in a way, and Green Party voters and those Gaza independents in the way that we saw in the wake of the Gorton and Denton by-election last week, is going to be a hot topic in the at the next election.
And I think you put that idea directly to the president, didn't you, Harry? How did he respond?
Well, he said, you know, London, you know, he said Britain isn't what it used to be. It's an unrecognizable country. He, you know, went after Sadiq Khan, as he so often does, says you've got a terrible mayor. But you've also let in, nearly slipped into a bit of Donald Trump there. I'm not going to do an impression. But no, he said you've let in some terrible people. And he says Britain, is, you know, he said it's tragic for Britain. It's tragic for the British people. And it's tragic for, you know, the alliance between America and Britain. I think he's very, very sore about the Chagos Islands, about Diego Garcia, about not being allowed to use Diego Garcia to bomb Iran with those B-2 bombings in the initial strike. He said, you know, we call it Woke Island now because we just can't understand why Britain's giving away territory and paying people to give it away, and this lease system doesn't really work. So, look, it's an unfortunate predicament for Starmer to be in, but I think one entirely of his own making. He tried to ride a very, very sort of steady tightrope over the course of the first year of his premiership. He sort of built himself up as a Trump whisperer, that bridge between Europe and America. But the president said very clearly, you can read it, sun.co.uk, he said very, very clearly, you know, we used to have, this used to be the steadiest of relationships between Britain and America, and now we have better relations with Europe. He name-checked France. Yes. He name-checked Germany. He name-checked NATO, which, you know, if you listen to anything Donald Trump said for the last year or two, you know, it's pretty unusual. So you can tell how annoyed he is by Starmer, by who he's comparing him to.
Harry Cole, editor-at-large at The Sun, joining us live from Washington, D.C. TheSun.co.uk is where you'll get Harry's interview. Good to hear from you. Look after yourself. Talk again soon. Speaking of last night with the president. So, is it fair to say that, has Britain ever looked so irrelevant on the world stage? Here to discuss, Sir Andrew Mitchell, Conservative MP for Sutton Coldfield, served as Deputy Foreign Secretary and served as International Development Secretary. What is currently the relevance of the UK on the global stage? Sir Andrew, good morning.
Well, good morning, Nick. I think that the interview that Harry Cole has extracted, for which, of course, in journalistic terms, he's definitely to be congratulated, does show you that the special relationship is only special when one side wants something from the other and they get it. I said in the House of Commons yesterday that I thought that Keir Starmer's reaction had been anemic and disappointing. And the truth is that Britain has been a major power. We have huge interests and many friends and commercial and economic interests in the Middle East. And what America is trying to do deserves our support. Iran is a hugely destabilizing force throughout the Middle East, not only as a country, but also through its proxies. And the way in which Iran flouts international law and behaves on the international stage is a direct threat to Britain. It's a direct threat to all our interests. And trying to degrade the ability for them to exercise that threat, take out missile launchers, take out factories which make missiles, take out the command and control center of the IRGC, not only protects Britain, but it may, in the medium term, give the Iranian people a chance to take back their country from this ghastly theocratic regime, which has so destabilized the neighborhood and the region.
But, Sir Andrew, I have to put it to you, you say that they flout international law in Iran. Well, surely the actions of the United States and Israel is another example of that?
No, I don't think that's true. I think that Keir Starmer plays fast and loose with international law. And the truth is that the very distinguished Shadow Attorney General, Lord Wolfson, KC, has made it clear that British active engagement and support is within international law. And if you think about it, Nick, those who seek to use international law to constrain us effectively leave us sitting on our hands in front of tyrants who are in place and who continue to perpetrate their vile activities, not just in Iran, murdering tens of thousands of their citizens just a few weeks ago, but also destabilizing all the surrounding countries and particularly trying to wipe off the face of the earth Israel, which is our friend and ally.
Sir Andrew Mitchell, Conservative MP for Sutton Coldfield, former International Development Secretary, Deputy Foreign Secretary, thanks for your input on that. Listening, 14 after 8, Alex Ballinger, who's a Labour MP for Hales Owen, also a former Royal Marine. He's served in Afghanistan and he's been an international aid worker, so comes at this with different perspectives. Thanks very much for coming on, Mr. Ballinger. Same initial question to you, if I may. What is the current standing of the UK on what's known as the global stage? Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, I think it's important that the UK is not involved in this reckless action by the Americans and the Israelis. We do have a very good reputation, a very good relationship with Donald Trump, but that relationship needs to go two ways. I think when something is so obviously not in our national interest, and the chaos that we've seen over the last 2 days across the Middle East, the risks to UK bases, the 300,000 UK citizens that are stuck in the Middle East, all things that could have been predicted and certainly would have been on risk registers ahead of any attacks on Iran, show us that we were right not to get involved here. And I think it's important with relationships, and it's the case here with Donald Trump, that when there is a red line, so we can work closely together on trade, we can work closely together on Ukraine, but when there's a red line like insulting UK troops who served in Afghanistan or undertaking an attack that is not only unlawful, but also has no real plan for where it's going, and we haven't heard the plan yet from the Americans on where this will end or how it will end. Us not getting involved in that is absolutely the right thing to do.
You say it's not in the national interest, and I'm sure you have no time for the regime of the Ayatollah, remember, but you say they have, of course, funded organisations such as the Houthis, which have closed the Straits of Hormuz, which brings up oil prices, gas prices here. They've funded other terrorist groups. And the Metropolitan Police confirming somewhere in the region of 20 some form of assassinations have been foiled by Iranian operatives on United Kingdom soil. So I can't understand, Mr. Manager, how is it not in the national interest to do something about such a regime?
I mean, it's an awful regime. I completely agree with you. They're very destabilizing across the region. They're responsible for all sorts of conflicts. But we have learned lessons, of course, from Iraq, Afghanistan, other yes. interventions about the consequences of tackling even evil regimes like Saddam Hussein's.
And I pay tribute to your brave enough region. To have served in Afghanistan, so credit to you, sir. But I could also point you to Serbia, which was successful. So they don't always have to go wrong, Mr. Ballinger.
Don't need to go wrong. I think if you're going to try and conduct a regime change, which is what Trump's initial pledge was, although he seems to be rolling back from that at the moment, there needs to be a credible plan for who might take over the regime afterwards. And in Iran, we've got a very strong repressive regime that has already killed tens of thousands of people on the streets. I fear encouraging people to rise up against that regime and expecting democracy to somehow arrive out of the ashes is extremely unrealistic, and we're more likely to have much more death. And it's not just death in Iran. We're already seeing attacks in Israel. We're seeing attacks against Gulf allies in the region, attacks against British bases. Right. All of this could have been predicted. All of this certainly would have been predicted by our allies. And this is why not just the UK, but Gulf countries were speaking to the Americans and the Israelis and really discouraging them from taking this course of action.
Alex Ballinger, thank you again for your time. You're the Labour MP for Hellzone, and you served as a Royal Marine in Afghanistan. You're also an international aid worker. The Chagos deal, of course, being now very much called into question. And we've got this video. Remember, we spoke last week with the self-appointed First Minister, Misli Mandarin, who's in exile on the Chagos Islands, and I asked him for a video diary.
Hello, Nick. This is Misli Mandarin. This is my video update to you. So, as you see, how beautiful it is.
Take a look on the lbc.co.uk or the LBC app. The beach, some of the best beaches I've ever seen anywhere in the world. It's absolutely sun-kissed. Give it away. I want to live there. 818 LBC. Much, I'm sure, to many of your hope and joy. 818 LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
Speaking to Nick, the Chief Secretary to Sir Keir Starmer's rejected claims Sir Keir's damaged the special relationship with the US after initially blocking the use of UK military sites to target Iran. The head of the Metropolitan Police says his force is still working to rebuild community trust 5 years since the murder of Sarah Everard. And the Chancellor will insist later the government has the right economic plan for the country when she delivers her spring forecast. LBC weather, dry and sunny for most, cloudy in the southwest, a high of 15 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Traffic's being held on the M3 northbound just after Junction 3 at Lightwater. It's following an accident and there are delays of about 3 miles on the approach. Very busy on the M1 southbound to Junction 9 at Redbourne following an accident, but all the lanes are now back open. In Tooting, the high streets had to be closed both ways and that's because of a fire. Delays of about half an hour on the A2 westbound from the Danson interchange up to the Kidbrook interchange. On the underground, the severe delays on the District line continue from Turnham Green to Richmond, and also minor delays on the Bakerloo. And the Mild May line still suffering with severe delays as well between Richmond and South Acton after that power problem from earlier.
LBC.
Imagine a place where you can escape for a day. Get immersed in a world of rooms, inspiration and expertise. Where you can laze in luxury accommodation. And kids can feast from 95 pence. Tickets are free to everyone and include all the attractions. You've just imagined a day out at IKEA. IKEA, the wonderful everyday.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. This is LBC.
Right then, who's all in for Cancer Research UK's Race for Life? Anglers, ramblers, climbers, five-a-siders, surfers, gamers, bikers, hang gliders! Book clubbers, are we up for it? Let's go all in against cancer, all in to help fund life-saving research. Sign up to your local 3K, 5K, 10K or Pretty Muddy event from just $14.99. Search Race for Life. Prices vary by event distance and participant age.
At AJ Bell, we believe investing is for everyone, even people who know nothing about investing. Like Keith, who thought dividends were a boy band. Jessica, who thought compound interest was a prison dating app. And Sue thought FTSE 100 was a bit of under-the-table fun, which surprised her accountant.
Oh, no.
If we can make investing feel good for them, it's no wonder Which have recommended us 7 years running. AJ Bell. Feel good. Investing. The value of your investments can go up or down.
A Southern train is a place where you can have more me time. A chance to skip traffic and glide to wherever you need to be. With headspace to focus on more important matters. Like if that cloud is a starfish or sunflower. Fast journeys without the rush with great deals at southernrailway.com. Terms apply.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973.
What is the relevance of Britain on the so-called global stage? Susan Thurrock, what do you think it is, Sue? Good morning.
Good morning. All this stuff, I can remember, and I'm sure you can, how we blindly followed the US into an illegal war in Iraq based on lies.
Yes, I can remember it.
Okay. A few months ago, Trump was boasting about the raids that they did on Iraq, took out all of their capabilities. Mm-hmm. Was that a lie?
I've no idea. It may be. Yeah, it may be. It was poor intelligence. I don't know.
Trust anything that man says. If you fact check it, and also following Iraq, he actually referred to his own U.S. veterans as losers. The man cannot be trusted. He's got a different agenda.
If we move away from Trump just for a moment, do you think that the Iranian regime needed or needs to be changed?
That's, we get involved in all of these things.
Do you think it needs to be changed?
That's not my decision to make.
But I'm asking you, what do you think? Because let me go first while you... Yes, it does need to be changed. Is this the right way? I've absolutely no idea. Are people sadly being killed? Yes, they are. But we cannot allow the Iranian regime to continue to fund terror, whether it be through the Houthis, whether it be through Hezbollah, to close the Straits of Hormuz, which means our prices will go up, and also to authorise attempted assassinations in the United Kingdom. We can't watch that just carry on.
I mean, when it came to the Straits of Hormuz, we did get involved in that because it was directly affecting us. I mean, you sort of mentioned the... Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, you sort of mentioned we weren't even able to, protect Cyprus. Cyprus only got attacked after we said that the Americans could actually use our bases.
Well, would you have not even allowed that, lastly, Sue?
I think there needed to be some discussion, but he didn't even discuss it with his own Senate and Congress.
Sue, thank you. I understand, and it's a widely held dislike, if not stronger, for President Trump. I don't know if it should colour everything that's going on. Sue, thank you. Mark's in Sandy. Mark, you're on the radio. What do you want to tell me?
Good morning, Nick.
Yeah.
I think Keir Starmer's probably a decent chap, but he's not a leader. And I think you have to use clever judgment. And the government, on many things, seem to be reactive rather than proactive. And it's silly, really, because he could have used his conversation with Trump, even though we all have doubts about him on many things with Trump. But he could have sort of said, he's already reached the point where he said, well, we're going to defend our interests out in the Middle East. He could have used that line with Donald Trump to back him up. And so you would think that somewhere down the line, not just the UK, but knowing what the situation has been in Iran for so long, that either internally or externally, things would be affected either by war, internally or whatever. So you'd think a day after would have been thought about long, long, long ago. And I think the other thing about the Iranian situation, people compare it with Iraq. Iraq was completely different. The people in Iran are very, very different demographically. And they want change. We should be backing them.
Mark, thank you. Let's pick up on some of the social media texts that are coming in. Stephen in Rochester, your tabloid trash, your disdain for international law, the fact you'll be considering if we just followed the US, Starmer has been strong on this. Henry Barker, I'm tired of all the Starmer bashing. If he joined Trump, he would have been compared to Blair, being the USA's lapdog. You've insulted a former ambassador. He talked more sense than you. The UK is supporting in a defensive role, not an offensive role. My niece is stuck in Dubai after trying to fly from India to London, but being well looked after and being updated by the Foreign Office. The government is looking after people caught up in this. Jonathan in Amersham asks, where was international law when the Iran regime started murdering protesters? Victor is in Chiswick. Victor, you're on the radio. Your view. Good morning.
Hi, Nick. Yeah, I'm just a bit disappointed at the short memory that you and a lot of people seem to have in terms of Trump and the things he's said about, or the lack of support he's had for our special relationship. Mm-hmm. If you think back to his stance on NATO and the fact that in the event of an attack on one of the member of NATO states, he may not come to the defence. If you think about all the tariffs he's slapped on Britain, if you think about just historically where he's been with the special relationship. I think it's terrible to try and make out that Keir Starmer is breaking that special relationship.
Are you not able to divorce your views towards the US president to the activities that are going on? I.e., do you think the Iranian regime should stay as it is?
No, I'm not saying that at
all.
So how
is that to be achieved?
We should intervene. No, because the question that you raised and the question that you were bringing up earlier was about this special relationship that's been damaged by Keir Starmer, and that's what I'm responding to. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be involved in, taking out terrorist supporting organisations. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying Keir Starmer is not the reason for saying that this special relationship is broken.
Well, he is in the views of the president, and who is a fairly important part of that relationship currently.
I won't even get into the things that the president says, which changes from day to day, and he comes up with whatever excuse and, weak...
Do you value the special relationship? Does it matter at all, Victor?
It does matter. It does matter. I'm ex-military. I've done 10 years in the Air Force. And, of course, I'm concerned about the safety of our troops over there and the safety of ourselves. But that doesn't mean that the special relationship is being broken by Keir Starmer. It's Donald Trump who's ruined that. Welcoming Putin, defending Putin more than he defends, Ukraine and Zelensky. These are the things that are breaking the special relationship, not...
Thank you for your call and thank you for your service. I will finish to get other people involved. Thanks, Victor. Olu in Lewisham. How relevant is the United Kingdom this morning? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Yeah. Trump has embarrassed the United Kingdom for a while now.
How relevant is the United Kingdom, though? I think everybody kind of knows where a lot of folk are on Trump, and I understand that. I absolutely get it. But where is the UK as regards international relevance?
No, for now, with Trump, they are not relevant. Well, probably with other, maybe with subsequent government. But for now, they are not relevant. Because
United
Trump
Kingdom
has
is not,
not
just to clarify,
relevant.
The United Kingdom is not relevant. You're saying that?
No. I'm saying they are relevant, but in Trump's eye, they are not relevant. It degraded them. He said a lot of things about them. But now I think when another government comes in, then the United Kingdom and US will be at good times again.
Okay. Well, we must look forward to those good times again. Olu, thank you. Not the strongest quality line there, so battling a little bit. Hopefully speak to you next time on a clearer line. We'll continue with this. Also coming up later in the show, as the Metropolitan Police Commissioner says, I understand why women don't trust the police on the 5th anniversary of the tragic Sarah Everard case. I'll be asking you, particularly if you are a woman, has your faith, has your trust in the public been restored, or do you still question it? And then over to the United States, in newly released video footage, former First Lady Hillary Clinton seen losing her temper while giving evidence in those Epstein files.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
So I would like to understand how that's permissible.
Before the hearing was...
It doesn't matter. We all are abiding by the same rules.
I will take that down.
Yeah, well...
I would like to take a break at this moment.
I'd like to have...
I'm done. We'll have more of that. 8:30, breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, here on LBC. News time, Dominic Ellis.
The Chief Secretary to Sir Keir Starmer has rejected fresh criticism from President Trump after he questioned the strength of the special relationship. Speaking to Nick on LBC this morning, Darren Jones dismissed suggestions that Sir Keir has damaged relations for initially blocking the US from using UK military sites to target Iran. Donald Trump says Sir Keir's inaction was not helpful. The US and Israel have continued to strike Iranian military targets as the conflict moves into a fourth day. The head of the Metropolitan Police says his force is still working to rebuild trust in the community following the murder of Sarah Everard 5 years ago. The 33-year-old was kidnapped and killed by the then-serving Met officer, Wayne Cousins. And the Chancellor, Rachel Reeves, will give an update on her plans for the UK economy when she delivers the spring forecast later. Borrowing and inflation could be revised down, but the latest outlook on growth and jobs is expected to have slowed. LBC weather, dry and sunny for most, cloudy in the southwest, a high of 15 degrees.
Tom Swarbrick on LBC.
The Simpsons were used as a parody of a normal family. Now they're aspirational. Dad out to work, mum able to stay at home, three children, a mortgage on a house, a car. In your mid-30s, absolutely unaffordable, unachievable for millions and millions of people. But that used to be the status quo, and it's not happening anymore.
Tom Swarbrick, Monday to Friday from 4 p.m. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
At TfL, we're opening up more of London for everyone with step-free access. We're continuing to improve accessibility at many of our stations, and now over 200 stations and counting have step-free access, including the entire Elizabeth Line, DLR and all tram stops. That is how we're making the greener way to travel more accessible to all. Search TfL Improvement Plan. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters. Greener than total estimated petrol and diesel car emissions.
Music, news, celebrities, socials, entertainment, podcasts, video. The world of media and entertainment is a world we all turn to every second that we can. And university isn't for everyone. So, if you're leaving school, take a look at joining Global Academy in year 14 to take a unique course in creative enterprise and kickstart your media career. Get industry experience, develop your entrepreneurial skills, and it's free. Apply now at globalacademy.com.
AO members get 10% off hundreds of laundry appliances in AO's Big Spin event. Save a load on brands like Hotpoint, Beko and Hoover. Membership also unlocks unlimited free delivery and free recycling of your old appliance. All from the UK's most trusted electrical retailer. Join now and start saving at AO.com. Verify at AO.com/trust. Membership charged annually at £39.99.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
8:34, time to talk about the Chagos Islands. But before we come into the cost of billions of this deal, the political sturm and angst, storm and fury over what might or might not have been agreed between Sir Keir Starmer and President Trump, and its military significance in launching bombing raids on Iran and the region, let's try and get to the other side of the Chagos Islands. Now, if you were listening last Thursday, you'd have heard my conversation with Ms. Lee Mandarin, the self-appointed First Minister of the government in Chagos, in exile on the islands. We were discussing the deal to give away the islands to Mauritius, but at the end of the conversation, I asked him, what's the weather like? What's the weather like on Chagos today?
Oh, my God, I wish you're... Because they only can listen through the radio. If you can see through radio, I will show you the... It is paradise. The sun is shining. It's 27 degrees. The wave is there. The blue sea. So,
do you want to do me a favor, First Minister? Will you talk to one of my colleagues and maybe do me a video diary so we can have some views of the Chagos Islands, perhaps seeing you in the water, and we'll play it out tomorrow? Is there any chance of that, First Minister?
That's no problem. I will. I'll show you.
Well, it couldn't be tomorrow because, of course, the world, part of the world at least, went to war. So here comes that video. I promise you, yes, he's not playing the ukulele. We've added that. But you can hear the waves. That's how loud they are.
Hello, Nick. This is Miss Le Mandarin, First Minister of the Chagos Islands. This is my video update to you on the Chagos Island. So as you see, how beautiful it is. This is Indian Ocean. And this is an atoll, got a couple of islands, you can see. And this is our camp.
Oh, you just want to be there, don't you? They should be playing that in number 10 in the White House all the time. In the Chagos Islands is Diego Garcia, currently owned by the United Kingdom, 2,400 miles from Iran's southern coast. That puts it out of range of ballistic missiles from Iran, but within operational range of US B-2 bombers. Britain argues the deal to hand over ownership to Mauritius is the only way to protect the continued operation of the base. The UK would then lease it back at a cost of tens of billions of pounds over the next 99 years. President Trump has been up for it, against it, and currently seems now to be very against it, and calls it the woke island deal. But what are the view of Conservative Party leader Kemi Badenoch?
Why is it that we are giving away the Chagos Islands and paying £35 billion for the privilege rather than standing up for our national interest and protecting the crucial military base which even now our allies are using?
To Elizabeth Brough, who's foreign policy expert, senior fellow with the Atlantic Council's Transatlantic Security Initiative, and joining us now. With events in and around the region in Iran, how likely is it that there needs to be a rethink of the deal? Good morning to you.
Good morning. Well, the Chagos Islands are certainly back in the news, but when it comes to President Trump's views, what is extraordinary, really, is that he... when the deal was presented to him, which it was by the UK government, he apparently didn't think much of it going ahead. I mean, he didn't disapprove of it going ahead. Then he discovered that it may be detrimental to the United States. But he has gone back and forth, and that is where we are at the moment. And It really sort of raises the question of whether he read the fine print in the first place.
How much sense does the deal make to you, Elizabeth?
Well, so there are two parts to the Chagos Islands debate. The first is from a UK perspective, whether it makes sense. The other part is whether the United States gets to... essentially dictate to the UK when he wants to, when and how he wants to use it, but I think it's it is beyond debate that it was a controversial deal and probably not that advantageous to the UK. But that's an internal UK debate to be had.
Lastly, militarily, how strategic do you think it is?
Well, it is massively strategic, and it is plays a vital role for the United States. So vital, by the way, that a couple of years ago, a subsea communications cable was installed going to the Chagos Islands, or going to Diego Garcia, which is a really quite an investment. But that's how strategic it is. And that is why President Trump feels very strongly about the Chagos Islands at the moment. But the time to think, to feel strongly about it was when the deal was being negotiated.
Elizabeth Brough, foreign policy expert, senior fellow with the Atlantic Council's Transatlantic Security Initiative. Thanks for your time. Just coming up on 8:40. Let's get a couple of emails, a couple of texts coming in, then back to the call. James, you're going to be the next caller. Zoni says, no matter what people think about Trump, the moment British lives are in danger from retaliatory strikes, we should have joined the offensive. At the moment, we're relying on the US and Israel to protect our forward positions. Joe Ray says Trump doesn't care about our special relationship. All he cares about is himself. Talking about special relationship is meaningless. On a similar note, Sam on the Isle of Wight, criticism from Trump is technically a badge of honour for Britain. The special relationship is such a myth and all dictated by the US. Stop living in the 1940s. Meanwhile, Jack in Brixton says, yesterday in the House, the Prime Minister stated security services foiled 20 planned attacks by Iran on the UK. They struck an RAF airbase with a drone. If international law means we cannot attack Iran with our allies, then it needs not to be followed. I do not trust this man to lead us during a war crisis. Lastly, Stephen, would it be possible to have a guest who can actually tell us what international law is? My understanding, it's a Western construct designed to make us feel good. No one else seems to follow it. China, Russia, any part of Africa, most of Asia. We need to act. James in Edinburgh. James, what relevance is there of the United Kingdom on the world stage? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. I think the thing is that, you know, the previous wars that we've gone into in terms of Afghanistan and Iraq, they weren't really gone into in with much thought. And I think Keir Starmer's position, whilst it is right to sort of not go in on an offensive position, simply because there is no sort of clear plan, and obviously we weren't involved from the plan from the beginning, it also puts what Keir Starmer had said, it also puts him in a position where he is saying, well, I'm full stop, he's not going to join in. But, you know, as we all know, wars can develop, they can evolve, they can be fluid, and he might be in a position where he needs to backtrack and then get involved, which, you know, the government of this term has a history of backtracking on a lot of different things at the moment. And as far as the special relationship goes, well, the relationship has been long-standing for over 100 years. It'll be long-standing for 100 more, we hope. But if...
Have we let America down?
Well, I think the thing is that, you know, our relationship is not with Donald Trump. It's with the United States. If Donald Trump goes for a purported third term, we aren't dealing with a special relationship with a democracy anymore. We're looking at a different form of that. So do we need to be sort of taking that forward in the long term anyway, if Donald Trump remains president for the foreseeable future? So
what do you think the British position should be now?
At the moment, I think what Keir Starmer has said is that, yes, we need to be supporting our allies and from a defensive point of view, but not from an offensive point of view just yet. But that position may need to change in the future, and I think we need to be prepared to accept that.
If another missile or more missiles fall on the RAF base, we continue just to play defence? Is that protecting our military personnel?
Well, to be fair, you know, a military base should have the defensive capabilities to
protect
themselves.
So we just keep taking it, do we?
They should have, we need to...
I hear you, but we don't ever strike back. We just continue to take the hits.
I think we need to have the capabilities to be able to protect our bases by ourselves.
I get that. Would you not, after you've taken 3, 4, 5, 6 hits and you're the RAF, do you not maybe think, right, well, you can have some back now?
I think, defensive targeting of missile, where they're launching missiles from. Yes,
what's defensive targeting?
So, if you're getting missiles launched at you, you should be targeting where those missiles are coming from.
So you could take out those missile bases?
That's about it, yeah.
All right, we're on the same page there, I sense. James, thank you. I don't want to think of the men and women who are brave enough to be in the armed force, in the RAF, sitting there just taking shell after shell, drone after drone. No, as long as we can block them in the skies, that'll be fine. No, let's find out where they're coming from and take it out, surely? Katie in Watford. Katie, you're on the radio. How relevant is the UK and its position at the moment? Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much. I think there's two aspects to this. I think internally, Keir Starmer needs to think about the fact that Iran have had targets in the UK. He needs to fulfil his election pledge to proscribe the IRGC. But internationally, under international law, under Article 51 of the UN Charter, this is part of self-defence, what America and Israel are doing. They're not attacking civilians. They're not trying to invade. This is part of taking out the ballistic missile programme, the nuclear programme that they know exists, and that within months would be capable of being, taken underground or be impossible to take out later. And I think the idea, exactly as you just mentioned, of just allowing these attacks to happen, Britain needs to be going with its allies and attacking back, attacking these sites, so that for everyone's good, for British good, and also for the wider world. And I think what is concerning is if Russia attacked us tomorrow, I'm not sure Donald Trump would have our back after this.
Let me ask you then, the position that's been taken by Sir Keir, what's your take on that, your criticism or otherwise of that?
I think it's lily-livered. I don't think it's correct under international law, and I think it doesn't really go to the heart of it, which is that Iran, a nuclear or a heavily armed Iran, which clearly they are heavily armed, because within minutes of Israel and America's attack, they've attacked pretty much the whole of the Middle East with hundreds of ballistic missiles. And the fact is, you need to take it out. It's a threat to the whole wider region, and Keir Starmer needs to come to his allies' aid and to indeed our own forces. And internally, he needs to prescribe the IRGC. There are huge risks internally to the British public.
Katie, thanks for your input on that. We will stay with this conversation, but coming up after the news, our MPs will get a pay rise taking them to just south of £100,000, on track for £110,000 by the end of this Parliament. Now, this is in part because of, and I quote, increasing, quotes, abuse and intimidation, and, quotes, a cost of living uplift. Are we all getting cost of living uplifts? Anne Strickland is with the Taxpayers Alliance.
This is absolutely disgraceful when hard-working taxpayers are facing a personal recession and a record-high tax burden. Let's call this what it is. It's rewarding failure.
We'll have more on that after this. 8:45 LBC News headlines, Dominic Ellis.
Speaking to Nick, the Chief Secretary to Sir Keir Starmer has rejected fresh criticism from President Trump after he questioned the strength of the special relationship. The US and Israel have continued to strike Iranian military targets as the conflict in the Middle East moves into a fourth day. And the Chancellor will give an update on her plans for the UK economy when she delivers the spring forecast later. LBC weather, dry and sunny for most, cloudy in the southwest, a high of 15 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. In Bedfordshire, it's very slow on the M1 southbound to Junction 9 at Redbourne. It's following an accident where one lane is closed. On the M4 westbound, it's slow from Junction 3 at Hayes to Junction 4 at Heathrow, and that's because there was a load of debris across the road earlier. The M25 slow clockwise to Junction 8 at Reigate, and that was after an accident that happened earlier. Very busy on the A2. Now, this is westbound up to the Kidbrook interchange. There are delays of about half an hour. On the underground, the district line's been suspended again between Turnham Green and Richmond. It's because of this ongoing power problem, which means the Mildmay line is also suspended from Richmond to South Acton.
This is LBC.
At Kia, we know that inspiration begins with a first. Your first job, your first love, your first home. Now it's time for your first drive in the new Kia EV2 at our first drive weekends. It's your chance to be one of the first to test drive the Kia EV2 with its innovative technology and elegant eye-catching design. It's small in size, but big in personality. Discover what driving electric really means. Search First Drive Weekends to reserve your place today.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060973. LBC.
Hi, I'm looking for a pair of jeans.
Right. Low slung, slouchy, wide leg, bower leg, curved leg, flared, straight or skinny?
Blue?
Fashion. It's hard to keep on top of. Other things, like the upcoming changes to renting, are a bit easier. As a landlord, you will need to get on top of these important changes. They will affect how you manage your tenancies. Act now. Read the guidance at gov.uk/renting-is-changing.
AO members get 10% off hundreds of laundry appliances in AO's Big Spin event. Save a load on brands like Haier, AEG and Hisense. Membership also unlocks unlimited free delivery and free recycling of your old appliance. All from the UK's most trusted electrical retailer. Join now and start saving at AO.com. Verify at AO.com/trust. Membership charged annually at £39.99.
Why are you abseiling down the front of your house, Ross? You have a staircase.
I like doing things the hard way, Albert.
Try something easier, Ross. Get cheaper off-peak energy. It's available at different times, like during the day or weekends. Just get a smart meter and choose a flexible scheme or tariff.
Ooh, I could batch cook some quiche.
Perfect. With a smart meter, getting cheaper energy is easier than you think.
Eligibility varies. Action required. Schemes and tariffs available to selected customers.
You know, Kayak isn't just another flight comparison app. When you download the Kayak app, you download flight enlightenment. With Kayak, you see things others can't, like the latest great deals from both airlines and booking sites. You can filter your searches and set up price alerts so you... Not now.
Oh, sorry.
So you're notified when there's a price drop on the flights you want. See more, do more, save more with Kayak. You can do the gong now. Download the Kayak app today and go see for yourself.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
8:49, coming up on 10 minutes before 9 the time. Chandra, you'll be the next caller on that, but let's go to domestic matters. And as I said just before the news, MPs have given an inflation-busting pay rise in a move that will surely anger voters. Households struggling, more being taxed. Westminster's expenses watchdog said MPs deserve a 5% hike due to their increasing workload and, quotes, increasing abuse and intimidation. Here are the brass tacks, the bare facts. That will take their annual salaries to £98,599 in the next financial year. I mean, it's virtually is 100, isn't it? Way more than twice the UK average of £39,000, puts them on course to earn £110,000 per annum by the end of the Parliament. The rise is made up of 3.5% cost of living uplift. That's worth £3,300. This is to tackle increasing bills which can be spent on anything, plus a further 1.5% benchmarking adjustment when salaries were compared to similar roles. Similar roles? What are similar roles? William Yarwood is media campaign manager at the Taxpayers Alliance. What do you think people like you, me and other taxpayers are going to make of this? Good morning.
Morning, Nick. Thanks for having me on the show. And yeah, they're not going to be
thrilled. I mean, this is a 5% rise rather than just the 2.7% rise or 2.6% rise that we've seen in previous years. So 5% is way above the rate of inflation and way above what most people enjoy when they get pay rises. And I understand what MPs say. They say, oh, this is out of our control and this is all to do with the Independent Parliamentary Standards Authority and we don't get to choose this. But I think if MPs really wanted to show some solidarity with the British people during this cost of living crisis, they would actually reject this pay rise personally, but actually would put legislation forward to change the ways in which MPs' pay rises are done. For example, I think that MPs' pay rises shouldn't just be automatically uprated every single year. One thing that we at the Taxpayers Alliance have called for is MPs' pay rises to be tied to GDP per capita, which is separate from GDP because GDP per capita actually measures the real living standards of ordinary people in Great Britain. So actually, if Britain's GDP per capita goes down, MPs' pay should also go down because MPs are clearly not actually putting forward economic policies that are making people richer. So my view, Nick, is that MPs should not be isolated from the cost of living crisis and not should not be isolated from the economic decisions that they make.
Broadly speaking, how do you think MPs fare in the eyes of the general public?
I think most people in the general public think that MPs fare pretty well in terms of the fact they get a constantly uprated pay every single year, the fact that obviously they have expenses, the fact that obviously lots of MPs are allowed to do second jobs. And look, like, I'm not against paying MPs more if, for example, GDP per capita was higher than it actually is. But the point of the matter is, Nick, is that we've had decades of politicians from all sides of the argument increasing taxes, increasing the national debt, not doing anything with the cost of living crisis, not controlling the borders. And yet they seem to get rewarded every single year for complete and utter political failure. So Brits will be scratching their heads wondering why on earth MPs that have failed them year on year on year are getting more money, all the while they're getting taxed more, all the while their small business has to be shut down, all the while they're unable to hire more people because of the employer's national insurance hike and the minimum wage hike. I mean, the disconnect between MPs and the average member of the British public is quite clear. And I think that if MPs, like I said earlier, wanted to show some solidarity with the British people, they should reject this pay rise personally.
Grateful for your time, William Yarwood, Media Campaign Manager at the Taxpayers Alliance. Let's see what you're saying. This comes in from Alan. Your contributor has nailed it. The government squander our money and happily take the pay rises when we all struggle. Same subject. This comes in from Jim in Ryslip. As well as the pay rise, how is it no one is talking about public sector pension contributions? Civil service and public sector workers get up to 28% employer contribution, i.e. government and taxpayer. In the private sector, the mandatory contribution is around 3-4%. This comes in from Greg. How convenient. They're just below the £100,000 free nursery threshold and the £100,000 to £125,000 60% tax black hole. Same subject. Jack says, sure, let's pay them about 10% of what they get in the private sector. Then moan that we don't get a high quality of MP. Might take your calls on that. I think in reality, as we've said before, there are too many of them. We should pay a fewer number, better wages. I obviously, through dint of the job I do here, I do meet a lot of MPs. I have to tell you, most of them are extraordinarily hardworking. Whether they're particularly good at it is another matter, but they certainly put in the hours, extraordinary hours in some instances, that would merit this kind of salary. The problem is, at this time when it is all getting so tight, it is just a ridiculous look. That is the reality. We might take calls on that, but you're going to have trouble getting through because, understandably, people want to speak about the Iranian situation and where it leaves Britain as regards global relevance. Chandra's in Newcastle. Chandra, what do you want to say? Good morning.
Very good morning, Nick.
Hello.
I'm not a fan of the current government. I've run several times to criticise their position on various matters. But on this, I have to say, I'm afraid I agree with Keir Starmer.
Okay.
Because
What is his position?
As I understand it, his position is not to go on the offensive. But as and when the British lives and British assets come under fire, he will take the decisive action to protect them, which is not. I mean, this isn't. I mean, I've heard you speak with the one of the cabinet ministers, and you've pressed him on the legality, and you've more or less mocked him for taking that position. But
well, as regards domestic law, yes, of course.
Well, the international law. I think you You were criticising... OK, I may have misheard you then. The point is, this is a...
Chandra, we've got military personnel, RAF personnel, on an island, on an island base in Cyprus, who have been in a receipt, I think, of two drones. Are you telling me that if they have some more, and we can identify where that base is in Iran, we don't take that base out?
Let me come to that...
No, if you'd answer that, Chandra. Do we go on the offence... Or do we just continue to take the drones out in midair, thank God, so no one gets hurt? But we just continue to take that, do we?
But why are we in this position?
Chandra, answer the question.
I've already set out my position.
Right, so you get a phone call. Just to let you know, sir, we are under almost constant bombardment. We have identified the base in Tehran. We know where the missiles are coming from. Can I launch offensive strikes to take out that base?
Under international law, it is allowed. It is allowed.
So you would allow them to do that?
If I were the Prime Minister of UK, I would allow it.
Liked the Prime Minister's position. He's only defence. That is, to make an American offence, that's offensive action.
It's not. I mean, because you've just said...
Well, it is, because you're going to take out, and sadly, you could take out some civilians as well, depending on how pinpointed the bombing is, sadly. You're just going to allow the RAF continually come under unreturned bombardment. That's my playbook.
Can I get a word through the airspace, please? Please allow me to complete my point. My point is that if I were the Prime Minister of Britain, I would tear Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu to pieces for starting a multilateral conflict.
You think they care?
No planning, understanding, with no foresight for the consequences.
You think either of them care what the United Kingdom thinks?
If I were to become the Prime Minister of Britain, Nick, I will have the presence to make them feel the consequences of their actions.
What are the consequences?
They have violated the rules of decency and international rules-based order.
Well, I come back to my earlier point. Do you think they care?
They don't care. Well, I mean, Donald Trump... I mean, one is wanted by ICC for wars against... crimes against humanity, and the other is convicted by his own courts for extraordinary financial crimes. These are gentlemen with two extraordinary...
Coming back to your point, they won't... They won't care that Britain condemns
them. Of course they won't care, but this is about innocent lives, Nick. Not just in one country, just in Iran. It's a
Of course it is. It's about 20 attacks, attempted assassinations in the United Kingdom, Chandra. Ordered by the Iranian regime.
My cousin and his young family in Kuwait are earshot away from attack.
Right.
Nick, so I know this very personally.
All right. Chandra, I'm grateful for your input. Thank you. The music means we must move on. We'll take more calls. But coming back to events here in the UK, there is a march set for next week as regards the marking the Iranian foundation of Iran. Should that now be banned? Some MPs are saying yes. Plus, Detective Chief Inspector of the Met, Ian Kenwood, speaking a few days after the disappearance of Sarah Everard nearly 5 years ago.
Sarah's family are extremely concerned, as are her friends. It is completely out of character. We really want to be able to find Sarah and reunite her with her family.
Well, of course, we all know how those tragic circumstances played out. Now, the Commissioner of the Met says, I understand why women don't trust the police, but they're working on it. So asking you, as women, has your faith been restored? Or you still not trust the cops? 9 o'clock news is next.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 9 o'clock, a senior government figure has rejected claims the UK's response over Iran has damaged its special relationship with the US. President Trump has again criticised Keir Starmer for blocking the use of UK military sites for defensive strikes. He said Keir's initial indecision was not helpful. Speaking to Nick, the Chief Secretary to the Prime Minister, Darren Jones, said the UK was right to take its time.
there must be a clear international legal basis for us to engage British military personnel. There is now, because it's a defensive engagement to support British citizens.
It's very sad to see the special relationship is obviously not what it was, says President Trump. Of Sakir, he says he's not been helpful. I'd never thought I'd see that from the UK. He's seen it from your administration, hasn't he?
Look, I recognise the President's frustration, but that doesn't get away from the fact that we do follow international law.
Harry Cole is the editor-at-large of The Sun, who spoke to Donald Trump. He's told Nick the President didn't hold back in the interview.
The President said very clearly, we used to have, this used to be the steadiest of relationships between Britain and America, and now we have better relations with Europe. He name-checked France.
Yes.
He name-checked Germany. He name-checked NATO, which, you know, if you listen to anything Donald Trump said for the last year or two, is pretty unusual. So you can tell how annoyed he is by Starmer by who he's comparing him to.
The US and Israel have continued to target Iranian military targets as the conflict moves into its fourth day. Iran has launched a fresh wave of reprisal attacks against Gulf states overnight. Donald Trump says America will retaliate soon. The head of the Metropolitan Police says his force is still working to rebuild community trust following the murder of Sarah Everard 5 years ago. The 33-year-old was kidnapped and killed by the then-serving Met officer Wayne Cousins. And the Chancellor, Rachel Reeves, will give an update on her plans for the UK economy when she delivers the spring forecast later. Borrowing and inflation could be revised down, but the latest outlook on growth and jobs is expected to have slowed. In the city, a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading down 181 at 10,600. The pound buys $1.33 and €1.14. LBC weather, dry and sunny for most. Cloudy in the southwest, a high of 15 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Babe, it's Jem. Just voice noting you because I'm so busy. I can't even type right now. I'm working on that big presentation for my new launch. I'm making it on Canva Mobile like you suggested. And it's making everything iconic. Sorry, it's a bit noisy, babes. Marv's is going off. Anyways, I'm going to ping the presentation to you now so you can see what I mean.
Yeah, my dad.
Gotta go, hun. Thanks for introducing me to Canva. Love ya.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Morning, 3 minutes after nine, Tuesday, March the 3rd, and the march in March in London linked to Iran regime that should be banned. We'll give you more details on that and then, of course, ask you for your views. Plus 5 years since the abduction and subsequent murder of Sarah Everard and the Commissioner of the Met saying, I understand why women don't trust the police, but we are working on it. I'll be asking you, particularly as a woman, but for your daughters, your wives, your sisters, whatever, what is your level of trust in the police in that area? And in newly published video footage from the Clintons' testimony for the Epstein files, former First Lady Hillary loses her rag at Republican Nancy Mace.
You ask the question, I'm going to answer your question. This was what I spent my time doing.
I'm a survivor trying to look out for others.
And I was taking care of the people who lost 3,000 lives.
Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Is March the time to march about Iranian matters? MPs and peers have called for an annual march linked to the Iranian regime to be banned this month, warning it risks inflaming tensions and providing a platform for extremism. The Al-Quds protest held in London during Ramadan forms part of an international day of demonstrations established in 1979 by the then Ayatollah Khomeini, intended to mobilise opposition to Israel and to support Palestinians and the Palestinian cause. Marchers have previously carried the flags of Hezbollah, the Iranian-backed Lebanese group, and placards calling for the destruction of Israel. Now, this comes amid criticism of Mohsin Ali, the Green Party's deputy leader, who attended a march at the weekend that involved protests against the killing of the current Ayatollah, or the one until the weekend. One MP says, my understanding is he attended the war, anti-war protest. He is anti-war. Sir Keir Starmer telling the Commons he was shocked that Ali had joined the protest, but, quotes, perhaps not surprised, given the party's recent turn of direction. So the march is scheduled for the 15th of the march is scheduled for the 15th of March, organised by the Islamic Human Rights Commission. In a video promoting the event, the commission showed protesters holding signs bearing its logo, which the Ayatollah says was on the right side of history. One of the things, and there are many things we can enjoy about living in this country and celebrate about the United Kingdom, is we have, with certain limits, we have the freedom of expression, the freedom to demonstrate. It's a mighty decision to ban it, but should it be banned? Jonathan Hall is a KC and the UK's independent review of terrorism legislation and state threat legislation, and joins us now. Thanks for coming on, sir. This is a thorny one, and I know you'll be the first to defend our right to demonstrate and to march, but is this perhaps just a bridge too far at the moment, a march too far? Good morning.
Good morning. I mean, I think outside war or state of civil emergency, I think it's very hard to work out a law, and I'm a lawyer, to try and work out a law that would say you can't march in favour of a foreign country. I think that's the problem. I mean, if they're going around stirring up racial hatred, fine, they can be arrested. If they commit terrorism offences, fine, they can be arrested. But they're trying to work out which states you can march in favour of and which states you can't, that's a really tall order. That's quite difficult.
What is the current legislation that the Met might be using to, small p, police the march?
Well, they use the Public Order Act at the moment. So they'll be looking at whether or not there is the risk of violence and disorder. They'll be looking at whether they should limit where they go because they might be affecting the life of the nation. And they'll be certainly, I'm sure, very conscious of the position of Jews and their willing ability to use the streets of London. So I expect they'll be imposing conditions, time to start, time to end. But I think they'll probably say with some force they don't have the power to ban it simply because it's in favour of Iran. I mean, there are some other laws that could be used. For example, if Iran was actually paying for this or directing people, then the people involved in that arrangement would have to register under the National Security Act, because Iran is one of those countries on the so-called enhanced tier. And if you do an arrangement with Iran in this country, you've got to register. And if you don't, that's an offence. So that's one of those things. Otherwise, I suppose if you banned the IRGC, which is something that people talk about quite a lot, and it turned out that people were supporting the IRGC on the march, that would be an offence. But as things currently stand, it's the Public Order Act.
But we are allowing a demonstration that, in fact, is effectively supporting a regime that reportedly, could have murdered 35,000 of its own citizens.
Yeah, I know. But I mean,
doesn't feel right, Mr. Hall, if you know what I'm saying.
That's true, but I go back to you rhetorically. How do you determine in law? I mean, ultimately, you've got to have some sort of semblance of rules. And you'd have to say, I mean, let's imagine Section 1, the Secretary of State may ban a march if she reasonably concludes that, what, that the state is a bad state, that it's involved in human rights abuses. You know the arguments to be made, don't you? I mean, the same points to be made about, well, could you support Israel? Because people were saying, well, Israel was involved in human rights abuses. It's a really, I mean, I think you started with the correct words. It's really, really thorny.
It really is. Lastly, I have photographs from what I assume is last year's march. We are all Hezbollah and from the river to the sea. The latter of which I think now is deemed to be offensive, isn't it? Isn't that grounds that we could explore?
Well, I think that using the existing law better is a really good thing to explore. I mean, I can't remember from the river to the sea whether it's been said that that is necessarily a terrorist offence. But I should say for my own part, I'm not quite sure that's right. It might in context. Mm. But we are all Hezbollah now. Well, that's a classic offence under Section 12 and Section 13, and I would expect the police to arrest.
That's a lot of arrests, lastly, Jonathan. You can't see the picture I'm seeing. There's a lot of people with that back. We're going to need quite a few police vans. Black Mariah, as they were called in my day. We're going to need quite a few police vans.
Well, better use the existing law, I think, than try and work out something on the hoof.
Lastly, you reference the IRGC. Are you able to give me a view? Surely it's time to look at... No, surely it's time to proscribe, to ban that organisation.
Well, I made the recommendation last year, and I didn't make it for fun. I mean, I made it because I thought it was necessary to have that power. So, I mean, ultimately, it's up to Parliament to pass the law that would allow the Secretary of State to ban it.
How disappointed are you they've not acted on this?
You know, that's a political matter for the government and for managing whatever bills they want to bring before Parliament. But as I say, I didn't do it for fun. I made a recommendation because I thought it would be useful, and I stand by that.
Grateful for your time as ever. Jonathan Hall is a KC in the UK's independent review of terrorism legislation and state threat legislation. Listening to that, Alex Hearn, who's co-director of Labour Against Anti-Semitism Campaign Group. To ban or not to ban, that is the question. Mr. Hearn, where do you stand on that? Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on. I think that I would like to see this march ban. I would like at the very least to see it isolated and heavily policed for the racism that's usually on display at this march. While the regime attacks British targets, it's amazing that people want to march on their behalf, shouting things like death to the West and calling for half the world's Jews to be killed. You know, imagine being Iranian Maybe you fled the regime and seeing those supporters march through the streets of Britain's capital city. Imagine being Jewish and seeing supporters of this genocidally racist regime marching through the streets. And as I said, these marches are characterised with disgusting racism and calls to violence. I remember seeing throat-slitting gestures and so on. So this is, think of this more as a show of power by a horrific regime.
I hope you were able to listen to the comments made by my previous contributor, Mr. Hearn, who is a KC and is an expert in this field, making the point, and I'm put this far more crudely than he did, we can't really ban these demonstrations because we don't like the country or the government of that country.
I'm not going to argue with Jonathan Hall on that point, of course not. But what we could do is isolate the march and really crack down on things. You know, we saw with a right-wing march...
Tell me how you do that in practical terms. You say isolate the march. It will be heavily policed anyway, of course, Mr. Hearn.
It needs to be restricted. The actual zone where people can go needs to be restricted. You know, we saw with the right-wing march proposed through Whitechapel how the entire borough was basically an exclusion zone. You know, don't forget, the IHRC are the organisers of this march. And Britain, well, you know, for the sake of its own security and real community cohesion, something needs to be done. One Cuds Day rally saw the arrest of their chief steward for the event. But like you said,
yes,
there's branded placards that say Khomeini was on the right side of history. Yes. I'm not saying that a blanket ban is necessarily practical, given Jonathan Hall's statement just before. But I think it does need to be cracked down on.
All right.
You can't have...
Oh, great. I will leave that. Alex Hearn, thank you. Co-director of Labour Against Anti-Semitism. That allows us to get in. Just to clarify, it is organised by, I'm not sure if Mr. Hearn said they are, it's the Islamic Human Rights Commission, the IHRC, just to make sure we get that absolutely right. To ban or not to ban, that is the question. Martha's in Chiswick. What do you see as the answer? Good morning.
Hiya, how are you?
Grand, thank you. Well, yes, not bad. It's all a bit worrying in the world, but health is fine. Tell me what you think needs to happen here.
Well, I'm Iranian British myself.
Have you got family over back home, if I may call it that?
I do. I haven't heard from them from the day that the internet has been shut down. They can only call us, which then the government, the price of the calling us, it's so huge.
And presumably they're monitored, aren't they? Are their calls monitored?
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely it is. It should be banned because the people that going to do protests on March, they have not lived in Iran for one day.
What would you tell them?
I would say just don't do it. Just don't.
No, I'm so sorry. I'll say in a clumsy. Tell them about life in Iran. What would they be like had they lived there for a day or a week or a month?
It's bad. Like, I like to take my son back to Iran and show the Iran that I wished it was. The government, the regime, they need to go. And us, Iranian outside Iran, we ask Trump and Netanyahu to do this. We send emails, we send hashtags, we did sort of what we can because to be the voice of Iranian people. And for us to see these march going in United Kingdom, in London, and people doing those march that have not lived in Iran and say that, like, Khamenei was the leader, he stood on the right side. No, he did not. He killed 35,000 people in his own country. It's not his own country. He's not Iranian.
That's one agency figure, just to say. I mean, that is a figure, but we can't absolutely definitively prove that 35. Even if he's killed one person, it's one too many, by the way. But just do go on, Martha.
Exactly. Yeah. And the videos that we saw, the killing, it's bad. And I don't want anyone except Iranian to go to that protest and then that we televised and everything and show it to us that is just the hate against Trump. And
what does success, if we go back to events in Iran and come away from the march in London, what does success look like in Iran?
The removal of that regime.
And replace?
And that regime, yes, that would Reza Pahlavi done.
Bring back the Crown Prince?
Yes, he doesn't want to be Crown Prince. He's just leading this, and he's the only person that doesn't have any tie with the regime.
Yeah, but to clarify, so he goes in sort of, I don't wish to sound offensive, but as a caretaker, effectively, and then he stays as the Crown Prince, or you have democracy? What happens after that?
Democracy.
You have democracy.
So no religion, tie with politics, that's it.
So he sees the ushering in of democracy in Iran, is what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I've got it. Right, the perspective from someone who has family in Iran. Really important, Martha, thank you. Also coming up after the news.
On the 3rd of March 2021, 33-year-old Sarah Everard was kidnapped and murdered as she left a friend's house in South London. I'm LBC's Henry Riley looking back on 5 years ago today.
That's after this, 9.15 LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
Speaking to Nick, a senior government figure has rejected claims the UK's response over Iran has damaged its special relationship with the United States. The US and Israel have continued to target Iranian military targets as the conflict in the Middle East moves into a fourth day. And the Chancellor will give an update on her plans for the UK economy when she delivers the spring forecast later. LBC weather dry and sunny for most, cloudy in the southwest, a high of 15 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Delays on the M25 clockwise at junction 24 at Potter's Bar. It's because a van's broken down and one lane is closed. Also very busy on the A3 in both directions to the M25 junction, and that's because a car's broken down. The A4 slow eastbound from the Chiswick roundabout up to Earls Court. It was after an accident that happened earlier. On the underground, the district line is suspended between Turnham Green and Richmond. That was after that power problem from earlier. But better news on the Bakerloo line, those delays have cleared, and also the Mildmay line's back up and running between Richmond and South Acton, and also the delays on that stretch have also cleared.
This is LBC.
Right, who's all in for Cancer Research UK's Race for Life? Sunday Leaguers, dog lovers, bait clubbers, banger dancers, baby ravers, potters. Whether you walk it, jog it, or run it, go all in against cancer. All in to help fund life-saving research. Sign up to your local 3K, 5K, 10K or Pretty Muddy event from just $14.99. Search Race for Life. Prices vary by event distance and participant age.
This is LBC. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app. Download it now from your app store.
A Southern train is a place where you can just switch off. Where you have the chance to scroll your feeds as you roll past fields, or simply relax with a podcast, playlist, or power nap. Go with your flow and save with advanced tickets at southernrailway.com. Terms apply.
Serious about the right vitamins for you and your family? Trust Vitabiotics, the UK's number one vitamin company, for expert nutritional care for every age and lifestyle. Vitamins for everyone, including Well Man, Well Woman, Well Baby and Well Kid. From Boots, Pharmacies and Vitabiotics.com. For number one verification, see Vitabiotics.com.
Idle money lies in your current account, picking crumbs out of its belly button, wondering, should I eat them? But when you start investing with Monzo, your money's always busy. It turns on regular investments, invests your spare change, and tops up your stocks and shares ISA. It even helps you make sense of risk and return. Monzo, the bank that gets your money moving. You could get back less than you invest. Monzo current account required. UK residents 18 plus. T's and C's apply.
High pressure sales tactics, huge site fee increases and a loss of value have left many holiday park homeowners feeling misled, angry and trapped. The Holiday Park Advice Centre can help claim back any money you're owed. Text ADVICE to 78900.
Hello, Holiday Park Advice Centre.
That's ADVICE to 78900.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
I'm going to do something I don't normally do, which is bump callers up the list. So I know that people have been holding longer, but I understand Cece, who's in Hartley. Whitney has also got some input on this, again, because you are Iranian, or your family is Iranian. Is that right, Cece? Hello.
Hello. Well, we grew up there, and I was born there, but my father was originally a German Jew whose family escaped to Iran, and my mother, Armenian, whose family during the Russian Revolution went to Iran. So,
we're
sort of second generation.
Yeah, when are you writing the book? When are they writing the book about your back? When are we going to make the movie? Who's going to play you? Meryl Streep. Let's get Meryl Streep.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah.
Where were you born?
I was born in Tehran.
You were born in Tehran?
Yes.
When were you last in Tehran?
1976.
Oh, right, that tells me everything. Right, okay. Yeah. Couldn't get out quick enough. Have you maintained friends, or is there family still in Iran or Tehran?
No, we all decided it wasn't
get out of Dodge, as they say. Do your family, I don't know if they're still with us, did your folks ever sort of reminisce about the good times in Iran? What did they used to say about life before?
Oh, completely. I mean, my father used to ski with the Shah, and we had...
Seriously?
We had fantastic life. Yes.
Well, no wonder he had to get out of town, then, because he wouldn't have been skiing once they took over, would he?
No, definitely not. And we just had a very nice, happy life. And it's a beautiful country, and I just can't believe that it went back.
This is really cheeky, because you should never ask a lady, do you mind asking how old you were when you left?
I was 14 when I left.
Wow. What can you remember?
Well, I remember having a great life and having wonderful friends and, you know, lots of sporting activities, you know, ice skating, skiing, swimming in the sea.
Did your dad see it coming? Did your dad see the revolution?
Yes. Yes.
Did he ever share with you? Sorry, is he still with us, your dad?
No, he isn't. Oh,
sorry. Did he ever share with you what he thought effectively went wrong?
Yes, absolutely. The revolution was, he always felt that the Western world turned its back on the Shah, probably because of the OPEC oil crisis. The Shah got a bit too big for his own boots. So if he had been supported by the West, it perhaps wouldn't have happened.
Right, let's talk about current events. The march that is scheduled for next week, what should the authorities in the United Kingdom do?
Not allow it. It's Mothering Sunday. You know, this is a Christian country, and Mothering Sunday is one of our biggest Christian calendar events. And to allow a group of toxic people...
Well, we don't know... All I would say is we don't know that they're toxic yet. I mean, I know you can say, but Nick, come on, look at the pictures of past demos. You're absolutely right. But you can't police in that fashion. I'm going to nick you because I think you're going to be toxic. I don't know if we want to police. That's a bit like Iran now, isn't it?
I suppose so, yeah. But they seem to have a louder voice with their melodramatic demonstrations. You know, they are screaming and shouting and pictures of the Ayatollah, you know. I mean, I just think it's... That's not the country that my family and I chose to come and live in and grow up in.
I can understand that. When you heard the news, possibly on the Saturday, of the missile strike on Tehran, what was your first emotion, Cece?
Apprehensive, but pleased. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. Iran is a very, very diverse country, and I fear that it might strike a... another revolution, a civil war, you know, because it's very tribal, and the topography of the land allows people to isolate themselves and declare parts of it as different states.
Oh, my goodness. Do you think you'll see Tehran again?
I'd love to take my husband there. It is a beautiful, beautiful city, and it's a beautiful country, but I don't know.
Lastly, sell Tehran to me, because at the moment it's all rather frightening and forbidding, and I don't know that I'd ever want to take my children or my wife there. Tell me why it's so great.
Oh, it's on the foothills of the Elbors Mountains, and you can, in this time of year, in March, you can drive an hour and a half to the mountains and ski, and then go across the other side of the mountains to the Caspian Sea and swim in the sea.
Quite incredible. Cece, thank you for that. And thanks for all your reminiscences, and I hope you get your husband, your family, to Tehran. Katie, you'll be the next caller on that. But let's think in other matters, because we are aware, and I don't think this conflict is going to go away today or tomorrow, that we must reflect other stories. And 5 years ago today, Sarah Everard left a friend's house in Clapham Common and embarked on a walk home to Brixton Hill. And on that walk, the 33-year-old marketing executive was abducted, raped and murdered by a then-serving Met police officer. Her murder had a profound impact on the way policing was viewed in the UK and in attitudes towards violence against women and girls. And even on this anniversary, Sir Mark Rowley, the Commissioner of the Met, says he understands why some women still do not trust the force. He says, and I quote, several ghastly cases of police officers committing unlawful offences against women were bound to affect their trust. He says, I give the reassurance we're doing everything possible to avoid people who are a risk to anybody, women, children or otherwise, joining the organisation or staying in the organisation. Now, Sir Mark became the commissioner in September 2022, replacing Dame Cressida Dick, who resigned following a series of damaging controversies, including this, the murder of Sir Everard. So in a moment I'll ask you the trust, the faith that they quite rightly are desperate to retrieve after these ghastly events, which you'll hear chronicled in just a moment. Have you now restored your faith in the police, particularly if you're a woman? Are they doing enough? Or do you still, in many instances, not see them as you should, as that being there for you? So, LBC's Henry Riley takes us back to what happened 5 years ago and the events that followed.
Police say there's increasing concern for a 33-year-old woman who was last seen walking home in South London. Sarah Everard disappeared while heading towards Brixton from the Clapham Junction area.
Marketing account manager Sarah Everard was last seen shortly after 9:30 on what should have been an ordinary Wednesday night after visiting a friend's house. On her way home, after calling her boyfriend Josh and speaking for around 15 minutes, she was never heard from again.
Sarah's family were extremely concerned, as are her friends. It is completely out of character. We really want to be able to find Sarah and reunite her with her family.
Hours passed, days went by, and a week later...
There is growing outrage and concern about women's safety in Britain. A police officer is charged with kidnapping and murder.
Yesterday evening, officers arrested a serving Metropolitan Police officer in connection with the disappearance of Sarah Everard.
Identified as Wayne Cousins, a rapist and murderer who at the time was a serving Metropolitan Police officer. He'd been on shift. Earlier on that very same day, he abducted Sarah.
Do you know Sarah?
I don't know.
Okay.
Then met Police Commissioner Dame Cressida Dick.
Police officers are here to protect people. His every action is the exact opposite of that.
In the days that followed, a memorial was set up at the Clapham Common Bandstand. Thousands gathered to pay their respects, including royalty.
Kate Middleton defied police orders, arriving unannounced at the main memorial to deliver flowers.
But just a few hours after Kate Middleton's visit... The controversial police response to a planned vigil led to four arrests for breaching of the COVID-19 regulations, defended by the Met's top brass, Assistant Commissioner Helen Bull.
Hundreds of people were tightly packed together, posing a very real risk of easily transmitting COVID-19, and gatherings of hundreds of people from right across London and beyond.
The chorus of disapproval grew louder over the embattled Commissioner, Dame Cressida Dick.
We were in a most invidious position. We have been dispersing gatherings over the last 12 months. Let's remember we were in Tier 4.
And even the then Home Secretary, Dame Priti Patel, couldn't express her complete support.
You still have confidence in Cressida Dick? Is she fit for purpose?
I don't want to go into details here on this particular call, but obviously...
The question was whether you have confidence in the Commissioner of the Met.
Well, I'm working with the Commissioner, absolutely, on some of the measures and the reforms that they've been tasked with.
I'm going to say that you don't have confidence in the Commissioner of the Met.
No, I work with the Commissioner, Nick.
I hear you work with. You work with a lot of people. I work with a lot of... I don't have confidence with everyone I work with.
The Commissioner does a lot of great work.
A Met Commissioner who eventually resigned, a grieving family, but a determined movement.
Conclude LBC's Henry Riley's report. Let's go to Katie in Borehamwood. Katie, I want you to tell me your view on the marching around. Do you mind my asking, as you are a woman and you live on the outskirts of London, what level of faith or trust do you have in the Met after that? Good morning.
I mean, I'm a British Jew as well, so I'd say my level of trust in the Met is fairly low when it comes to being a woman and a Jew. And that probably leads into saying about the march.
Go ahead.
On a personal level, I'd say to ban it, but I understand, you know, free speech, being able to march. But let's be honest, the previous history of policing these marches, of policing these type of marches as opposed to right-wing marches by the police is terrible. They've allowed so much to go. I also want to echo some of what the previous Iranian callers have said. Mm-hmm. I would suggest that there will be virtually no Iranians on that march. I've marched against anti-Semitism alongside amazing Iranians. I donate to a charity for Iranian women who have been that were shot after the previous protest and needed medical help. And that when I came across this charity, the person I was spoken to said to me was by post pictures of Israeli hostages at the time said, we are fighting the same battle. And the people who are going out on the streets are not supporting Iran. They are a continuation of the pro-Palestine, anti-Jewish, anti-Iranian Islamists and like the sort of deputy leader of the Green Party. And I have no confidence that the Metropolitan Police are going to actually police it properly.
Katie, thanks for answering both questions. Grateful to you. Look after yourself. Coming up after the news, why did the former First Lady, Hillary Clinton, storm away from testimony as regards the Epstein scandal, the Epstein files? What is the relevance of the United Kingdom on the world stage? And how do you rate the plan as put forward yesterday by Sir Keir Starmer in support of our supposed special relationship with the US? You can answer all those questions and possibly more besides. Just got 9:31, breakfast with me, Nick Ferrara, here on LBC News Time. Dominic Ellis.
A senior government figure has rejected claims the UK's response over Iran has damaged its special relationship with the US. It's after President Trump has again criticised Sir Keir Starmer for initially blocking the use of UK military sites for defensive strikes. The US and Israel have continued to target Iranian military targets overnight. The head of the Metropolitan Police says he understands why some women still don't trust the force 5 years on since the murder of Sarah Everard. The 33-year-old was kidnapped and killed by the then-serving Met officer Wayne Cousins. And the Chancellor will tell MPs that the economy is stronger and more secure as a result of her decisions. Rachel Reeves will insist the government has the right economic plan for the country when she delivers her spring statement later. LBC weather, dry and sunny for most, cloudy in the southwest, a high of 15 degrees.
Hey, smart speaker. Play LBC.
Good morning, I'm Nick Ferrari. It's time to get to your calls.
First time caller. A little bit nervous.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for taking my call.
The United States military began major combat operations in Iran. Lay down your weapons or face certain death.
Hear every side of the story.
We should actually be thankful to Israel and to the US for doing the dirty work.
Who gives Americans the right to police the world?
I'm really thankful to President Trump because we are begging Europe and America to help us.
Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app. LBC, leading Britain's conversation.
Buying a home on a holiday park was the retreat you always wanted. But then came unexpected site fee increases. And that was before the dramatic loss in value. If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, you may have been missold. Holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive thousands in compensation. Text ASSIST to 78900. That's ASSIST to 78900.
You want £1 million.
I'd love £1 million.
So you enter the birthday draw and you think of a way to spend £1 million.
I'd quit my job and I'd finish my novel.
It's a lucky day and you win the birthday draw. So, what's the book called?
Neil, the Vampire Detective.
Sounds awful.
Who cares? I'm rich!
Is it your lucky day? For your chance to win £1 million, just search The Birthday Draw and enter now. From Global and ITV. 18 plus UK only, no purchase necessary.
Idle money dozes in your current account, snoring softly, dreaming of doing absolutely nothing. But when you save with Monzo, your money's always busy. It sorts your salary into personalised pots, rounds up spare change, and saves it automatically. It even holds strategy meetings with your savings while you sleep. Monzo, the bank that gets your money moving. Monzo current account required. UK residents 18 plus. T's and C's apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
So many elements of the main story to explore, not least, of course, the domestic aspect. This march that's planned next week, as one of the callers rightly pointed out, Mothering Sunday, I think it was Cece pointed out that it's Mothering Sunday, the march in support of the Iranian regime organised by the Islamic Human Rights Commission. Should that go ahead? Some MPs and peers are saying no. What are the position of the United Kingdom? Is it at best, it is at best a little confusing. No, no, you can't use our bases. Yes, you can use our bases, but only for defensive, you cannot go for offensive strikes. Meanwhile, if missiles rain down on RAF Akrotiri, we will take out the base or we won't take out the base. And if it's our duty to look after the 300,000 plus people in the region, should we not be a little more? I'm not saying we go in on the ground or anything like that. and our special relationship damaged in the eyes of President Trump. Now, of course, many of you, as somebody said earlier, that could be a badge of pride for many of you, but it's caused a certain degree of distrust, and according to the President, the relationship has never been so dented. He sees closer links now with France and with Germany. So much to discuss, and we'll come back to it. Let's say with the United States. I say with somebody who wanted to be president, but just came a little bit short. I speak of Hillary Clinton, and the House Oversight Committee has released video footage of the former first lady's testimony to US lawmakers about Jeffrey Epstein. Now, about an hour into the former first lady's deposition, one of her lawyers announced that a photo from inside the deposition room had been leaked to the public. Republican Lauren Boebert then admits to the leak, but she says it was before the hearing began. Here's what happened next.
Excuse me, can I interrupt?
There are photos
that are being released of the secretary as she is testifying from inside this room. Can you please advise me as to whether or not that's permissible and consistent with the rules, particularly given that we have asked for a public hearing? If there are photos that are being released of the secretary as she is testifying, can you please explain how that
can occur? I'm done with this. If you guys are doing that, I am done. You can hold me in contempt from now until the cows come home. This is just typical behavior.
We will go off the record.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
So I would like to understand how that's permissible.
Before the hearing was...
It doesn't matter. We all are abiding by the same rules.
I will take that down.
Yeah, so well...
I would like to take a break at this moment.
Yeah, I'd
like to have
I'm done for now.
Go off the record. Go off the record.
Well, that'll make all the difference. But I'm afraid it didn't stop there. Here's a testy exchange between the former First Lady and Republican Congresswoman Nancy Mace over how Mrs. Clinton came to know the U.S. Secretary for Commerce, Howard Lutnick, who is currently being examined for his links to, you're ahead of me, Jeffrey Epstein.
And then how do you know Howard Lutnick?
I know Howard Lutnick because when I was senator on 9/11, the firm he headed, Cantor Fitzgerald, suffered the greatest loss of life. As I recall, something like 650 of his employees were murdered by terrorists that day. Howard Lutnick missed being a victim because he was delayed dropping his child off to kindergarten. You ask the question. I'm going to answer your question.
Now you're going to
this was what I spent my time doing.
I'm a survivor trying to look out for other survivors trying to
And I was taking care of the people who lost 3,000 lives.
And now you're being defiant and indignant today.
You asked me about
Howard
Lutnick.
I have met with Epstein survivors. I'm a survivor myself. You have emails. You've denied that Jeffrey Epstein... that you tried to get Jeffrey Epstein to give money to you.
I did
but
not.
Howard Lutnick was
if you have an email
money,
with me asking Jeffrey Epstein for money.
I have an email from Howard Lutnick sending it to Jeffrey Epstein and his people to raise money for you.
I don't know about it.
Well, that's all getting us someplace, isn't it? We're all, all kicking along fine over there. We might try and bring you more highlights of that testimony as it works its way through. Serious events, of course, but the way that they were going at each other perhaps raised a brief smile. And serious events in the whole region, in and around Iran. And our next caller is in Tel Aviv, Malcolm. Malcolm, you're on the radio. What is the situation there this morning? Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Nick. About 10 minutes ago, we came out of the shelters yet again.
Right.
Which has been ongoing since Saturday, obviously. A few points. I mean, I think you're aware, I'm a news cameraman.
Yeah,
here.
We've spoken a number of times. You used to be in the news business.
Anyway. We've been out on the streets getting opinions, and they keep flipping it to us. It's sort of us asking them. They keep saying, well, what do you think about your British government? Why are they so spineless? Why are they not doing anything? You know, they were quick enough to colonise Cyprus, they keep telling me, going back to history books.
Mm-hmm.
Surely they don't understand that being defensive is also being... You know, you need to attack because they're attacking... The bases.
Well, I think you were British born, as I recall. I'm sorry if I got that wrong.
Yeah,
so you're a Brit now living in Israel. How do you view the position of Sir Keir Starmer and the British government?
Well, I just don't understand how the Labour government, all they're interested in is law this and law that and international law. Where's the international law regarding Iran? You know, I think you have to throw out international law and be realistic.
Well, people would say that Iran did go to the negotiating table. They were... This is what people... I don't subscribe to this, but they were negotiating in good faith, and what America, what the US and Israel have done is... I mean this literally, have blown that all up.
Well, can you honestly say hand on heart that they came to the table in good faith?
Well, I wasn't there, but from past history, obviously. I would be very, very doubtful. But obviously, I can't say because I wasn't privy to the negotiations.
And also, some of your callers are just naive. They've probably never been in the region, let alone anywhere else.
Talk me through life in Tel Aviv, which is a city I love. It's the most fantastic, buzzy place. How many times since Saturday have you had to go to the shelters?
Well, it's been non-stop. Last night we did have about 4 hours in between, and then this morning it started again. I mean, we got quiet now. The interesting thing is, observing people are in the streets. The coffee shops are open. They're sitting. They won't let whatever's going on disturb their everyday life.
Sorry, so when the sirens go, some people decide not to go to their shelters?
Oh, no, there's always shelters.
I'm so sorry, I misunderstood that. Right, okay. Presumably, yeah. I mean, a lot of you have your... These aren't communities. A lot of you have your individual shelters, don't you?
Okay, so the more modern apartments and houses will have what they call mamad, which is a shelter within your building, within your flat or house, which is generally a bedroom, which has been fortified.
Mm-hmm.
But then out in the streets, you would either... I mean, I'm going for a walk now. If the siren goes off, I'd find the nearest building and go into their shelter.
I see.
Otherwise, you have public shelters that are open, obviously 24/7, and people would then go down to those shelters.
Can I ask you, as someone who's been in news and is a Brit and is now living in the region, how do you view the activities of Donald Trump?
I'm not a great lover of Trump. But I think this time, he and I'm most certainly not a BB fan, I think they both have needed to do this out of necessity. And people don't understand, unless you're here, and you've been here, Nick.
I have been there.
Yeah, I know. Mm. And your association, obviously, with CSC, you know what the security is like.
I do.
But a lot of people have never been here. They don't understand. All they can do is blame Israel. They probably don't even know the size and where it is on the map.
Mm.
All due respect to people.
Finish with a question. The march that's planned here in London in a little over a week's time, it is difficult. Well, you know, you're a newsman. They don't like banning marches, and we shouldn't want to ban marches, but is this one where we make the exception?
Well, I'm all for free speech, obviously. But when you have... I mean, this is just going to turn into a free Palestine march, and you're going to get your Corbyns alongside in the march. I think this time it should be banned.
Keep your head down. Look after yourself, Malcolm. Thank you. Do stay in touch. Hope to hear from you perhaps towards the end of the week. Hopefully, perhaps it takes some kind of positive direction. Paul's in Dundee. Paul, the relevance of the United Kingdom on the global stage, what would you say it is?
I think it's been diminished by Trump and the special relationship, being that Conti Yvette Cooper yesterday on your show, she confirmed that the British government were not informed about the attacks going on by Israel and the USA.
Yep.
So that questions the special relationship that Trump is bumping on about. You know, surely that works both ways. I mean, if we've got a special relationship, why didn't he inform Keir Starmer that we're going to go into attack Iran and give the chance for the Brits to then put in proper defensive measures?
Yeah.
And also on the special relationship, Nick, this is the same guy that tarnished 350 lives lost in Afghanistan.
He is.
By British troops, by saying we weren't even there. So he's burning his bridges by saying that. I'm not a Keir Starmer supporter. I lean towards the independence up in Scotland. However, I feel that what Keir Starmer did by putting a defensive action in now to protect the assets in the region is correct, and he will possibly move on to an aggressive stature next.
That's the key, Paul. You've almost guessed my next question. I mean, how long can he ride two horses or sit on the fence? I mean, God forbid, there might be some actions at the RAF base. There might be some. We're going to have to take some kind of positive decision, or can you think we can vacillate through this the whole way through?
No. I suppose it's like a boxer. You know, he's getting punches. He's in the corner. He's defending himself, and then he'll come up fighting. Perhaps you've got to identify the areas to target. I mean, there's no point us targeting an area, and then the USA targeting the same area, or Israel targeting the same area. Now, once again, special relationship. Is the USA going to give us all this information of these sites that they're attacking?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because what's the point in hitting the same place twice or three times? You know, use the assets available to them for the correct places. So USA target one area, Israel, and then the Brits target a different launch site. But once again, that special relationship, how much are they going to share with us, considering they didn't even bother to tell us they were going to attack in the first place?
Paul, really enjoyed our conversation. Have a safe day up there in Scotland. This special relationship called into question that the one newspaper you woke up to this morning saying very disappointed. We had an interview with the journalist at The Sun, Harry Cole, who took that much, much further. Donald Trump saying of Sir Keir Starmer disappointed. And also, he has allies now in France and in Germany, not in the UK. But for many of you, of course, I understand you will celebrate the president's position on that. We'll have more on that after this. It is 9:45, LBC News headlines, then Dominic Ellis.
Speaking to Nick, the chief secretary to Sir Keir Starmer has rejected fresh criticism from President Trump after he questioned the strength of the special relationship. The US and Israel have continued to strike Iranian military targets as the conflict in the Middle East moves into a fourth day. And the Chancellor will give an update on her plans for the UK economy when she delivers the spring forecast later. LBC weather, dry and sunny for most, cloudy in the southwest, a high of 15 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. In Dagenham, Porters Avenue is closed southbound because of an ongoing police investigation. Very busy on the A3 in both directions to the M25 junction, and that's where a car has broken down. The A1 at Boreham Woods very slow, southbound heading down towards Stirling Corner. On the trains, well, the problems continue for the District Line. There's still no service between Turnham Green and Richmond, and that's because of a power problem. Also, District and Piccadilly Line trains can't stop eastbound at Barron's Court Station, and that's because of the engineering work, so do allow yourself extra time.
Coming up at 10 on LBC, James O'Brien.
A murderous Middle Eastern regime is under attack from the West, partly because of false reports of weapons of mass destruction. And all the people that cheered on the last disaster are cheering on this one.
James O'Brien at 10. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
Why are you abseiling down the front of your house, Ross? You have a staircase.
I like doing things the hard way, Albert.
Try something easier, Ross. Get cheaper off-peak energy. It's available at different times, like during the day or weekends. Just get a smart meter and choose a flexible scheme or tariff.
Ooh, I could batch cook some quiche.
Perfect. With a smart meter, getting cheaper energy is easier than you think.
Eligibility varies. Action required. Schemes and tariffs available to selected customers.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
A message from TfL.
I saw him in the local news a few days after. His name's Rakesh. They had to put him into a coma just because I didn't look again at that turning. He had two kids. How did I not see his bike ahead of me? Well, I didn't look again. He didn't make it.
Drivers, take another look, not a life. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters.
The Philly cheese stack is back at McDonald's and it's still intensely cheesy. Imagine the cheesiest thing ever. Now cover it in cheese. Add two beef patties, cheddar cheese sauce, crispy onions and even more cheese. The Philly cheese stack. Did we mention it's cheesy? Available until the 16th of March 2026 from 11 a.m. Fees apply to delivery orders. Price and participation may vary, subject to availability.
Serious about the right vitamins for you and your family? Trust Vitabiotics, the UK's number one vitamin company, for expert nutritional care for every age and lifestyle. Vitamins for everyone, including well man, well woman, well baby and well kid. From Boots, pharmacies and Vitabiotics.com. For number one verification, see Vitabiotics.com.
The Hillary sale ends soon, so get window wise and grab these amazing offers while you still can, like up to 50% off hundreds of made to measure blinds, curtains and shutters. Plus grab £50 off your electric blind order and conveniently control your blinds for less. And don't forget, with Hillary's, measuring and fitting is always included. So get window wise and book your free in-home appointment today at hillarys.co.uk. but hurry, the Hillary sale ends on the 9th of March. Conditions apply.
A Thameslink train is a place where you can have more me time. A chance to recharge yourself and your phone. To stretch out, sit back, and when you hear "All Change, Please," you'll know you already have. Go with your flow with great deals at TamesLinkRailway.com. Terms apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
coming to you, Paul, in just a moment. I think you've got family in Cyprus, so this is cute for you, isn't it? Just do a couple of the emails and texts that are coming in. For Scott in West Hampstead, Trump is nothing but a foul-mouthed president who likes to spend his time insulting anyone who dares to stand up to him. He doesn't have a diplomatic bone in his body. Far from being a peacemaker, he's a bully and a troublemaker. The great people of the US should demand Trump's immediate impeachment. Howard Ball says there is no special relationship. It's an illusion. The US failed to help us in the Suez Crisis. The Falklands War came in 2 years late in World War II, 4 years late in World War I. The US suits itself and, like a spoilt child, spits the dummy when they don't get what they want. Paul in Hackney. Now tell us the link with Cyprus, Paul. Good morning.
So I'm a British Cypriot, born in England, but of Cypriot origin originally. Yep. The concern at the moment coming out of Cyprus is how Sir Keir delivered his message initially on how the bases were going to be used.
Right.
And their view is that the attack happened from Hezbollah in Lebanon as a result of the poor delivery of how the bases were going to be used. That the initial message was obviously Sir Keir standing up as a prime minister to say that the Americans had asked permission to use the bases, not specifically Agra Theory, as we know that it was further the bases in the Middle East as well.
Mm-hmm.
But that it wasn't clarified that they were going to be for defensive purposes only. And as a result, Cyprus then got struck. And as a British Cypriot, this is hard to say, but that is sovereign land, British sovereign land that got struck.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't been struck since the war, do I believe, anywhere. And no one seems to be understanding this.
Don't forget the Falklands, Paul. Sorry, on you go.
Oh, yes, sorry, yeah, of course. Right. Yeah,
no, that's my job. Yeah, go on. Yeah.
But yes, and the fact that no one seems to be picking up that those bases were pretty much defenseless against a single drone going up. Now, if they're defenseless to protect the bases, the Cypriot concern is how are they protecting the wider area?
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, there was a huge alert in Paphos that they had. There was an alert that went out that there was an imminent strike on the airport in Paphos. Paphos has a huge expat community there as well. They all got messages to their phones to pack a bag and look to evacuate. And I think further from our standing with the US, I think there's a huge issue with our standing in Europe at the moment as well.
Well, let's stay with Cyprus just for a second. Your
yes.
friends and family who are Cypriots or who are in Cyprus, what would they want to see from Sir Keir and the UK?
Well, look, so as you'll know, Nick, the bases are a matter of contention since the war. And what we're showing now is that we're not even, as Britain, able to protect those very sovereign bases, as well as uphold their position as a guarantor power over Cyprus. Cyprus has limited military capabilities because of the embargoes, because of the issues that there are there. And now Britain is showing that they're unable to even protect the areas. The wider villages around Agra Theory were particularly concerned because,
well, of course, yeah,
the military were evacuated and put up in places around Cyprus, where the villagers weren't evacuated from that area. What would have happened if one of those drones struck outside of the bases? Would Britain have stepped up?
What do you think, Paul? What do you think?
I'd like to think they would have, and from reports, there was another two drones that were in the air that got intercepted. But I think the wider concern is that this happened, and I think bringing into the Chagos Islands, are we able to even afford these bases at the moment? And I think that is part of the issue, that they're not able to maintain them. Interestingly, yesterday in Prime Minister's questions, he got
Prime
pulled
Minister's
up.
Statement. Yep.
Yes, yep. He got pulled up by another Labour North London MP to clarify the position on Cyprus. In particular. And what he said was that I want to be clear that they've been used only for defensive purposes, but then under his breath muttered something which is more concerning, that they're not suitable for anything else. That is because the bases and our military have been grossly underfunded to years now.
And it's important to say that that is something that this government inherited. And in fairness, even some of the right-wing papers say it's not exactly Sir Keir Starmer's fault. Now, the fact that we're not getting up to where we need to be with GDP is, but the fact we're not there, he has inherited what has been, in some cases, a calamitous collapse in spending from the previous administrations. Paul, I must end there to allow other people there say, best wishes to your family and friends in Cyprus. Please stay in touch with them and in touch. Dint by dint, we can talk to folk over there. Reza in St Albans. Let's come back to future events, this march planned for the weekend after next. What should happen? Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Nick. I'd like to say I think they should ban this group, whatever they name.
The Islamic Human Rights Commission. The IRGC, the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, or the organisation trying to do the march?
Yeah, I mean, okay. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think they should completely ban them because the way at the moment, none of these people, they will return to this march if it's not banned. Most of them, they all pro-Palestine. And I believe, and 100% I'm sure, none of them will be Iranian. The Iranian, right. They all stand against regime.
But it's not wrong to be pro-Palestinian, of course, or pro-Palestine, Reza. That's not fortunate. That is not a crime, fortunately.
Yeah, I do understand. But none of them been in religion. None of them been in the region.
Right.
I was born in Iran. I've lived there 20 years of my life, and none of these people, not even one day of them lives, they've lived in Iran.
What would they know about Iran if they'd lived in Iran? And when did you come out?
I come out 20 years ago. And since that, we've been fighting against a regime, which is, they've been killing 35,000 recently, according to whatever Trump said last few days ago. And another thing about it, these people, and I said, they've never lived in Iran, or even...
Well, how would they view it, lastly? If they had lived in Iran until 20 years ago, as you did,
None of them would go to any march against...
What was life like in Iran 20 years ago?
Oh, God, even worse than now. It was really, really hard to leave that time till now. Now, a little bit because of social media and because of people travelling a lot and their knowledge what's going on.
Reza, I will end there. Do call me again when we've more time, because I must get one last call in. You stay safe, Reza. Glad to have you on board here in the UK. Amy in Bolton, you've got a minute. Go ahead, Amy. You want to talk about Donald Trump in this?
Yeah, I don't see where all the hate from Donald Trump's coming. So the bigger picture that people don't want to admit is that he's sort of public enemy number one in Matt Carney, the Canadian Prime Minister, has come out and said that they almost disagree on everything, but he's acknowledged that the US and his unequivocal support to the US and Israel at the time. Unfortunately, the IRGC, it's not a debating society. It's a regime that enforces arms, exports violence abroad and fear at home. And it's not paranoia, it's policy. And we need to be done with the hand-wringing. You know, 40 years the Iranian regime has brutalised its own people. They chant death to America, death to the West, while pushing a nuclear programme
Can I ask you what I've asked others? What does success look like, Amy, here?
The IRGC needs to be prescribed by Europe. We don't need to stand on the wrong side of history.
By some other countries, yes.
Yeah, but it needs to be by us as well. Hamas, Houthis, these are threats, active threats of the West. We are intercepting on our own streets terrorist forces. There were prescribed terrorist attacks to the embassies that were obviously shut down, which is good, but there's some that don't.
There are. 20 attacks have been intercepted. Amy, you had the last word. I'm done for another day. If you missed the show, listen back on the free Global Player app or the LBC app, where you can also stay up to date with all the latest news and videos and opinions. Download the app for free from your app store now. That's it from me. James O'Brien's The Other Side of the News. I'm back with you tomorrow morning for On 7. Meantime, stay safe.
Thank you, Nick. The time is approaching 10 o'clock, and although the sort of broad situation hasn't changed much since this time yesterday, we are addressing it with a lot more knowledge and time to process events than we had at 10 o'clock on Monday morning, not least the fact that many of you tuned in not knowing that Keir Starmer had announced support for or access to bases for the very specific job of self-defence and pursuing our national interest. We barely mentioned Iraq yesterday, and yet it's probably the biggest thought in my mind this morning. I don't know if this is a simplistic question, and I appreciate there are some differences, but have we learned absolutely nothing?
on your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock, a senior government figure has insisted the UK will take decisions based on British interests following renewed criticism by Donald Trump. The president says Sir Keir Starmer's initial decision to block the use of UK military sites against Iran was not helpful. He's also questioned the strength of the so-called special relationship. Speaking to LBC's Nick Ferrari, chief secretary to the Prime Minister, Darren Jones defended the change in stance.
Our Prime Minister cannot dictate what Iran does in the Middle
East.
One day
you can't use the bases, the next day you can use the bases. I mean, it's risible, Mr. Jones.
So we couldn't use the bases for intervention.
International law, here we go.
But I think the public, Nick, are with the government on that. We've learnt the lessons from Iraq. We don't want to go back into war in the Middle East where there is no clear plan and no legal basis to do so.
Former Conservative Foreign Secretary Sir Jeremy Hunt has told LBC the government indecisiveness could have wider consequences.
America is questioning our loyalty, and that is very significant when it comes to, for example, their support in Ukraine, where we badly need them to carry on helping Ukraine withstand the Russian onslaught. I think we have to say, what is our big strategic interest here? We want stability in the Middle East, and we want to sustain American support for Ukraine. And on both those accounts, I think that means we should have been all in with the president.
Iran has carried out a fresh wave of attacks on several Gulf states as the conflict in the Middle East enters its fourth day. Donald Trump says America will retaliate soon. The head of the Metropolitan Police says he understands why some women still don't trust the force 5 years on from the murder of Sarah Everard. The 33-year-old was kidnapped and killed by the then-serving Met officer, Wayne Cousins. Sir Mark Rowley says the Met has since strengthened its vetting processes and removed 1,500 officers and staff. And the Chancellor is preparing to deliver her spring statement this lunchtime. Rachel Reeves is expected to tell MPs that the government's plans for the economy are working. Borrowing and inflation could be revised down, but the latest outlook on growth and jobs is expected to have slowed. In the city, a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading down 262 at 10,518. The pound buys $1.32 and €1.14. LBC weather dry and sunny for most, cloudy in the southwest, a high of 15 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
In a world of noise and uncertainty, IG is the investment platform that backs you. Take our flexible stocks ISA, which gives you the freedom to withdraw funds anytime and replace them in the same tax year, all without losing your £20,000 tax-free allowance. And if that's not enough, pay no commission on your stocks, shares and ETFs when you invest with IG. IG. Trade. Invest. Progress. Your capital's at risk. Other fees may apply. Tax treatment depends on individual circumstances and is subject to change.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
It's 3 minutes after ten. What is the most apposite or helpful cliche that you could deploy at a moment like this, I wonder? I've got one. Those who do not learn from history are condemned forever to repeat it. I don't know if it's watertight. I don't know if it covers all the bases all of the time. But my goodness me, it's fairly easy to understand at moments like this, isn't it? Because the shadow, the spectre of the Iraq war seems to me to loom large, not just over what is happening in Iran at the moment, Iraq's near neighbour, but also what is happening in Westminster and in political discourse. I've got two things written down on the piece of paper in front of me. That's it. That's the show. That's the that's what passes for preparation on this programme. I've got the word Iraq and the word Trump written down in front of me, just in case I forget the key constituents of the conversation that I'm hoping to have with you. Iraq, because, obviously. And Trump, also because, obviously. Those who do not learn from history are condemned forever to repeat it. It seems to me that the basis of supporting or not supporting the United States of America in another Middle Eastern adventure, and that's a question that you can't answer without referring back to Iraq, but it's not the question we should be asking. It's not about supporting the United States of America. The United States of America, led by Donald Trump, is not our historical ally. He would throw us under a bus as soon as have another cheeseburger. He just would. And, of course, it doesn't matter, these sycophantic, self-styled patriots and sort of people who claim to be fans of strong men. The only thing they're drawn to about Donald Trump is the racism and the misogyny. Let's just be absolutely clear about that. He offers them nothing else except racism and misogyny. Whether you're writing a column for the Daily Mail about how you wish he was in charge here, or whether you're a voter in the United States of America, you've got a little bit more camouflage because you might have believed he'd bring down the cost of eggs or the price of petrol. But for the massive majority of people who seek to portray him as something other than a depraved delinquent, it's the racism and the misogyny with a fat side order of climate change denial, because that's where all the money can be made. And that's it. And that's it. So, should we be supporting the United States of America in another Middle Eastern war of highly dubious legality? That's a tough enough question to answer, and I think probably very hard to answer yes if your brain is working and you have any memory whatsoever of what happened in Iraq, what led up to Iraq, and what still unfolds in Iraq. And the question you should be asking instead is, should the British Prime Minister be unquestioningly following this US president into another almost certainly illegal adventure in the Middle East that has no plan? I mean, in many ways, and listen, stop me if you've heard this one before, in many ways, the deep and abiding and significant differences between the Iranian population and the Iraqi population notwithstanding, in many ways, this is an even madder prospect than Iraq. Because in Iraq, they at least pretended to have a plan, or they would have publicly acknowledged the necessity of having a plan. Somebody like Colin Powell, politically. I mean, to be honest, these words I never thought I'd say. Donald Trump makes George W. Bush look like Einstein. But there was at least a recognition that you should have had a plan. It emerged afterwards that there wasn't much of a plan. And that, of course, is why the Middle East descended into much worse chaos than it was in before American bombs and British people started landing in the country. But the idea expressed now by the White House and their closest allies that plans aren't our job. Plans are not our job. Aftermath is not our job. And I don't know whether it is the same old story about people not fully recognizing the scale of change that Trump represents, talking about him as you might have talked about Ronald Reagan, although Ronald Reagan, of course, enacted laws that made it illegal to assassinate foreign leaders without congressional approval. Hey-ho, on we go. You don't talk about him in the way that you talked about Barack Obama or George Bush or his son, George W. Bush. He represents something completely different. He's entirely detached from either actual or a pretense of principle or morality. And this, the two things that I have been really sort of obsessing about since we last spoke are those two words written down on the piece of paper in front of me. Iraq and Trump. The essence of Trump, a hideous human being. Oh, how dare you say that? You've all got Trump derangement syndrome. That's what you say if you love the racism, the misogyny, and the fat side order of climate change denial. He doesn't represent anything else. Now you're in the position of having to fend a US president who has launched more attacks on more countries than any other president in living memory, but who was elected on a promise to be peaceful. He was elected on a promise to put America first. He was elected on a promise not to take America into any more foreign wars or foreign engagements. And he's taken them into more than any other president in living memory. And yet you're still waving your flag. So you were waving your pathetic little flag when he was promising to be a president for peace. And you're still waving your pathetic little flag when he's actually turned out to be the most bellicose and warmongering president in living memory. Why? Because you love the racism, the misogyny, and the fat